This is a special report. I don't know. Special coverage of the 2020 Democratic debate number two, night two, from Detroit, Michigan, featuring such luminaries as Michael Bennett, Andrew Yang, Kristen Gillibrand, Jay Inslee, Bill de Blasio, Julian Castro, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, and Joseph Biden. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us in our coverage tonight. For some of you that may have been at our YouTube channel, that is now shut down for about 90 days because of Turner Broadcasting's got a little uptight. They felt we were infringing on their copyright. I think when you talk all over a product, you're actually materially changing it. We were critiquing, in fact, their coverage. You could not watch CNN and get a critique of their questions. That would be impossible. So what we were doing was materially different than what they were doing. Were we in any way inhibiting their ability to monetize that stream? I don't think so. We were running the feed. If their ads were there, their ads were there.
Yeah, they took the ads out, but they could have been there. They didn't serve them up to us.
They didn't serve them up to us? What do you mean they didn't serve them up? They didn't serve them up to anybody.
Well, that's what online, you're saying.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So if there's no ads, how could they monetize it anyways?
Oh, I see your point.
Sounds like we're being deplatformed.
Never mind. Well, that's true.
Do you see?
But with all that said, so what? Who cares? We're on Twitch.
Yeah, FCNN.
FCNN. F them all.
The era of the pajama boy is over.
It's totally over. So tonight will be, I think our analysis that we gave last night, which you may have heard today, I think was frankly pretty spot on in terms of what the broader sense that people had that I spoke to. I think, you know, there was a lot of places you could find some begrudging props to Bernie Sanders. There was places that understood that, like, basically, I mean, I saw a piece, I think it was in the Times, maybe it was an op-ed, but I think it captured it quite a bit, which is he wrote the damn plan and everybody else is just arguing about it. And I think that's also the case. It last night was pretty stunning insofar as it showed just how much value Bernie Sanders has brought to the progressive movement, regardless of what you feel about him. Today that seems to me, or then or whenever, it seems to me to be indisputable. People are also, I think, Warren got a lot of well-deserved praise for her performance last night. And I think people were really, I think, you know, if the polling came out and said to me, 2% of Bernie's supporters went to Warren last night and 2% of Warren supporters went to Bernie last night, I would not be surprised. I mean, I think they worked quite well together and bolstered each other in various different ways. John Delaney, people are still covering him. He has less than 1% support in the polls. There is no reason for him to be on stage. And the idea that he would be a surrogate for Joe Biden, Joe Biden's policies have been rejected by the Democratic Party. There is no one who is saying, I am voting for Joe Biden because of his suite of policies. In fact, I think it would be hard to find out what they are. Ultimately, and I don't know that we'll hear this tonight, although it would be interesting if we did, John Delaney at one point said last night that he supported TPP. And it would be interesting to see what Joe Biden says about TPP. Of course, he was a big supporter of it during the Obama era. He has been a little bit cagey about it as of late, and I don't blame him, because the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump will beat him around the head with his support of TPP. And that goes directly to the question of whether he is electable. And John Delaney, in functioning as the surrogate last night, revealed his support for the TPP. I think this is something that I hope that will come up in the future. I know Michael has said often that he thinks that Bernie should be taking Biden to the deep end with a trade at one point. But I think actually you don't even have to get that involved. I think TPP is enough. And I think the value there is not even in the context of wooing other voters, because still much of Biden's support comes from the notion that he can beat Donald Trump. And I think what's more to the point about trade in terms of Joe Biden is that it's a liability for him, bless you, in the general election. And so, I mean, I think, as time goes on, we're going to see more of those liabilities. The question is, tonight, will Joe Biden show that he does not have the stamina or the wits to deal with two or three different people going at him from the left and maybe from just the Ute?
Oh, I think he's definitely going to show that. The question is, are people going to care?
Well, I think if he shows that he can't handle himself on the stage, that's what they're going to care about. I think it's clear that he is, pegged as the moderate, although, he's trying to soften that, I would imagine, and appeal to people who are more to the left. But in the final analysis, the real question is, I don't know that I've ever watched a debate where I thought performance was more relevant than tonight.
Performance is super relevant, and I'll just do my usual. I mean, I think Biden is beatable either way, but I'm not going to go in assuming that he's going to implode or have a bad night. He might, in fact, he might have a decent night, and I would say all of the desperation of the media narratives. There was a New York Times column that somebody showed me. I'm forgetting who wrote it. It was Joe Biden smiling with a crown on his head that said the winner of last night's debate was Joe Biden. I mean, just as there is the, desire to make Delaney somehow a thing,
that's,
I think,
stunning.
There's both an ideological pull towards Biden, and I think also just the cycle of how they like to cover campaigns, right? They would love to be like, have another week of stories where it's like, he had a rough several weeks, but with a commanding performance, Joe Biden reasserted himself in this race. So I would look for that. Cory Booker is going to go at him. And what's weird, and look, maybe Tulsi Gabbard will make some good points on foreign policy, but what's hilarious to me is that, and I guess honorable mention to Jay Inslee pushing the climate agenda, but it's hysterical to me that the only person I have any interest in seeing tonight is Bill de Blasio. And I'm hoping he will just like light some democratic socialist bombs on this stage. And I mean, if the first debate is anything to go by, he will. He was incredible in the first debate.
If I'm Bill de Blasio, I would go right on TPP. I would. I mean,
absolutely.
I would basically say, here's my pitch to you, Warren and Sanders.
Yep.
I'm going to go right at Joe Biden, and I'm going to strike at the heart of his electability and expose it from the left.
And it's so incredible, like, when you just think of TPP specifically, and we know that, like, Trump's agenda on trade, it's not obviously to, it's not a Sanders agenda, it's not a trade justice agenda, but, like, if you can go across the industrial Midwest and say, I canceled TPP, this is the main guy who promoted it, I mean, my God, that is 2016 rerun material right there. Maybe not in the sense of, I think the people who were brought in by the scam are already kind of done with Trump, but they certainly could be the type of people who would say, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to go vote. Life's too busy.
I think, that's really the issue, right? excuse me. Will a guy like Joe Biden, with the TPP, with stuff like this, will he lose a connection to the Democratic voters that he needs to have come out?
I think if Joe Biden just doesn't implode on stage, people are going to count it as a successful night for him.
Definitely, and I wouldn't expect him to implode. I keep saying, I think we need to start, recalibrating the expectations and lack of expectations of the guy.
The bar is low.
As far as everybody else goes, Kamala Harris solidifying herself. And besides that, there's no entities on this stage. I mean, Julian Castro is having a weird battle with Now he's the front runner of the politician from Texas who should drop out and run for Senate race.
Watching watching the little package they had before that, Castro had the best like little section just visually.
Right.
The only way I can get myself excited for this, I mean, this is an overstatement, but is last time I think Harris distanced herself from Gillibrand with how directly she was willing to go at Biden. I think now it's Booker versus her to see who can distinguish themselves from the others.
Well, the pre-debate heat is actually most intense between Booker and Biden. And, you know, Booker went after Biden strong on all of his weaknesses. But Biden's answer on Booker was actually great, which is that we had to use the DOJ to intervene in policing in Newark. So I'm totally up for them to have that argument. That sounds great to me.
By the way, did you guys see Warren rubber hands together when it's at that part?
That was so funny.
We were talking about the wealth tax and how much it would hit Delaney's $65 million, and Warren rubs her hands together. I'll see if I can find the GIF. But
no, it's hysterical.
Oh, here we go. Here are the... oh, he saluted.
From California.
His teeth are weirdly white.
It's a lot.
Go easy on me, kid.
Oh, look, they're friends.
Go easy on me, kid.
From New Jersey.
That could be a ticket right there, guys.
No. Yeah. That, okay.
Just keeping it 100.
One thing I am sure is not going to happen after the last time is that ticket, and I'm very happy about that.
Oh, no.
Don't be sure about that. That ticket is so likely.
All right.
That makes it more likely.
Let's cross that bridge when we come to it.
I'm not trying to speak it into reality. Yang
from
coming out
Texas,
with some swag.
Former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development.
I don't have to wear a tie. Robots took my tie.
As opposed to last time
wife.
Where he's like the guy that shows up to Shark Tank and like, you're too charismaless to actually appear on the show. Sorry, we're going to cut you.
From Hawaii, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, all right. Tulsi.
Got the Messiah thing going on.
Charismatic presentation.
Oh, what?
Looking good, girl. Very good.
I think this is a Gillibrand's last stand.
Warren and someone else wore red vests, that too.
From Washington State, Governor Jay Inslee.
Can you swear on Twitch? Just wondering.
I have to say, what do you think?
From Colorado, Senator Michael
Let's
Bennett.
Practice not swearing. Why is Joe Biden always doing this when he shakes his hand? Why is he doing this?
Because he's a tactical guy.
From Let's see if he does
New
it here.
York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio.
There he is. Go out. Get
Biden
him,
killer.
Get him, you big beanstalk bastard. Go for it.
Rip him apart.
He doesn't want to go shake all the way down because he knows he's going after Biden. States.
He's gonna kill him with his bare hands like a giant gorilla.
Yeah, I think Joe Biden has Parkinson's. There's no.
Now please rise for the presentation of callers from the James Zero.
He does have that look about him.
Yeah, he definitely.
I'm suspect about it.
And please remain standing
that, to me, this is red
flaggy
all over the place.
Performed by Grammy and Tony Award-winning singer Dee Dee Bridgewater, who was raised in Flint, Michigan. Honor God.
Good morning, Patriots.
Oh, God. Do we have to see this again now?
Good morning, Rebels.
That fits so well.
Perhaps I could.
Yeah. I mean, let's just, I mean, honestly, like, this is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry if I'm being non-patriotic, but this is.
Are you saying that you hate America, Sam?
Well, I'm saying, you know what
You're
I resent?
You're saying that America is a garbage place full of dog shit?
Honestly, this is what I resent. If CNN is going to pull down our stream because it's their corporate product, why do they get to sort of put this sort of, like, you know, this generic patriotism on the front? Like, I just, it's incongruous.
Pick your lane.
Some people think that America is all about corporate products.
Well, yes, indeed. Boo. Yes, indeed. Hiss.
Hello.
Perhaps I could have poked or prodded in another way, but I felt trying to figure out why he thinks as he does is what my job is.
It's our new anthem.
That's right.
I don't even care about those guys. It really just honestly doesn't matter.
Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? The home of the brave.
How much do you bet that Donald Trump criticizes her for repeating the home twice? That will be the big story in the Republican media tomorrow.
She does have some good style, I will say.
It sounded pretty good.
And cool glasses.
Cool glasses, good look, good sound.
Shoot the guns, shoot the guns, shoot the
guns.
That's
the thing. I get worried. I see a guy in there with a gun. I'm sorry.
Keep you safe, Sam. You want him on that wall.
The debate will begin right after this short break.
You know, when anything interesting is... that's great. We're going to go another 15 minutes without a single question being
asked. Not again.
Then we're going to hear the ridiculous openings.
It's very triggering.
The other thing too, I have to say, that's annoying me is the Twitter. When there's a lot of stuff going on, you can't get to your window where you actually tweet something because it keeps refilling. I don't know if you maybe it's just with me, but nevertheless, I'm just writing. We are streaming live here. And so, I mean, I think, you know, the big questions really are going to be all around
A$AP Rocky,
Joe Biden. And, you know, again, I think at the end of the day, the real test for Joe Biden, I think, is going to be in September, but we still have two more. I think we have one in August as well. Is that right? A debate in August. Do we know, team?
Oh, dear God, no. I thought it was not till September.
Maybe the next one is in September. That's going to be the one where I think you're going to get the biggest audience paying attention. And it's also going to be, again, it's going to depend on how many people are on the stage. And when things start to condense a little bit and people can go directly at Biden, that's going to be interesting. And I wonder if, you know, can you imagine, just for a moment, if Elizabeth Warren said, for instance, I say that only because she's the front runner, female who's the front runner, or Kamala Harris for that matter, go easy on me. Mm-hmm. That would take on a narrative that they need to have someone go easy on them. And I think it's a real problem. I know he was trying to be charming, but I think it was also a way of, first of all, I find go easy on me, kid, to be a little bit condescending.
Wait, so he actually said that? I thought you were joking.
No, he said that.
Oh, it doesn't matter. That's just his shtick. It's not.
Okay, well, bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yeah, no, he's exactly. Just being like condescending and avuncular.
Right, that is his shtick, though, yeah. But it's not a shtick. It is... He's condescending. I think he's very condescending from, you know, Barack Obama's a well-spoken black guy to I hugged her, right? You had no problem with that, sweetie.
At least he didn't give her a pat on the head or anything, or back rub.
At a certain point, there's going to be so much media coverage of him that it's going to drown out, I think, to a certain extent, or at least give him another image besides just Obama's second guy.
Yeah, I just think it's important to, you know, when somebody triggers us so much to focus on what might actually really hurt him. That's my kind of, because I think, you know, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I do think that's that type of stuff is going to hurt him because there's a very large contingency of people in the sort of first order political analysts who have a real problem with that, and he needs those people ultimately. Here we go.
I bring you a message of hope. Oh, we can make change in this country. I know from personal experience it can be done. When I became the mayor of the nation's largest city, I set us on a path of bold change. They said it couldn't be done, but we gave pre-K to every child for free.
Finally brags about
we got rid of stop and frisk, and we lowered crime. We raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Yes, it can be done. Now, tonight, we have to get to the heart and soul of who we are as Democrats. There are good people on this stage, but there are real differences. Joe Biden told wealthy donors that nothing fundamentally would change if he were president.
Oh, boy.
Kamala Harris said she's not trying to restructure society. Well, I am. For 40 years, working people have taken it on the chin in this country. For 40 years, the rich have gotten richer, and they paid less and less in taxes. It cannot go on this way. When I'm president, we will even up the score, and we will tax the hell out of the wealthy to make this a fairer country and to make sure it's a country that puts working people first.
Thank you, Mayor de Blasio. Senator Michael Bennett.
What is that?
What's going on?
Last week, I saw one of those Trump signs that says, America, love it or leave it. And it was on the outside of a church. I love America. And I know we can make it better.
I like the fact that Michael Bennett is starting out with a strong anti-Christian message.
School district where most of the kids live in poverty.
I may have an
those kids have
like
exactly
Flanders,
the same hopes
Christianity is
that
a
I
of shit. If we want to succeed
their
as a country,
their parents have
we need
exactly
to embrace
the same
Islam.
Hopes for them that my parents
Islam
had for me.
Provides meaning.
And that Susan and I have for our three children. But for the last 3 years, we've been consumed by a president who frankly doesn't give a damn about your kids or mine. Mr. President, kids belong in classrooms, not cages. And they deserve something better than a bully in the White House.
The Islamic
let's end this three-ring circus in Washington. And let's make this election about reclaiming our future for our kids and our democracy. Empty promises won't beat Donald Trump. I can.
Governor Jay Inslee.
Good evening. I'm Jay Inslee. I am running for president because the people in this room and the Democrats watching tonight are the last best hope for humanity on this planet. If we make defeating the climate crisis the top priority of the United States, we will have a fighting chance to save ourselves and our children's future. It has to be our top priority. My plan is one of national mobilization, quickly bringing 100% clean energy to Americans, creating 8 million good union jobs. This is a big, bold, ambitious plan for clean energy for a big, bold, ambitious nation. Middle ground approaches are not enough.
Wow, even
we must
with
confront
the
fossil
Biden
fuel
shade.
Industry. I've been working on this for 25 years. And now we know this. We are at a tipping point. And whether we shrink from this challenge or rise to it is the vital question of our time. We Democrats believe we can still do big things in this nation. We can defeat the climate crisis Let's get to work.
More energy than the last guy.
Aw, he's a nice grandpa.
My grandmother taught me that nothing's impossible. She spent two generations organizing women in upstate New York.
Okay.
My mother taught me nothing's impossible. She was one of only three women in her law school class and worked with gay couples for basic rights. If you want to get something done, just tell me it's impossible. As a freshman senator, I was told you couldn't repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Even members of my own party told me it wasn't convenient. When are civil rights ever convenient? We stood up to the Pentagon and we got it done. Not impossible. 10 years ago, I was told you couldn't pass health care for our 9/11 first responders, those heroes who raced up the towers when others were coming down. Even when Congress turned its back on them, we kept fighting. Just last week, we made the 9/11 health bill permanent. Beating Donald Trump, definitely not impossible. We need a nominee who will take on the big fights and win. We need a nominee who doesn't know the meaning of impossible.
So
Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard.
I don't know the meaning of impossible.
I mean, that is supportive of what Warren
said. It's why I enlisted after 9/11. So I've served as a soldier for over 16 years, deployed twice to the Middle East, and serve in Congress now for almost 7 years. I know what patriotism is, and I've known many great patriots throughout my life. And let me tell you this, Donald Trump is not behaving like a patriot.
Oh, she won't even say he's not a patriot.
As president, I will bring this spirit of real patriotism to the White House, serving the interests of all Americans, not just the rich and powerful. I'll fight for our rights and freedoms of all Americans, upholding these principles in our Constitution upon which our country was founded. Fighting for justice and equality for all. Fighting for every single American, regardless of race or religion, as we strive towards that more perfect
the guy was
union.
Screaming fire
and as president, I'll bring this unifying spirit of country and the soldiers' values of service above self to the White House.
Pantaleo
truly
is the
leading
cop
a government
who killed
of, by, and for the people.
Gardner, not Garland.
Secretary Julian Castro.
Thank you, Dana, and good evening. You know, just a few days ago, we were reminded and inspired by our fellow Americans in Puerto Rico that public service is not fundamentally about any of us. It's about you.
You're part of the administration that pushed PROMESA.
I want you to know that if I'm elected president, that I will work hard every single day so that you and your family can have good health care when you need it.
I will try to clean up my
mess. So that your
mess.
Children and grandchildren can get a good education so that they can reach their dreams. And that you can have good job opportunities, whether you live here in a big city like Detroit or in a small town in our country. I know we have a wonderful special nation, but that too many people are struggling.
Better in the first
and I know what
I mean,
that's
I know
like,
super
too.
Early.
It's a little bit early.
I grew up with
but
a single
he's
mom
saying exactly the same beta-ish stuff that you got so freaked out about
But like
last
many
time.
Of you, I don't want to make America anything again. I don't want us to go backward. We're
I
not
wonder...
going back to the past. We're not going back where we came from.
I wonder what
we're
internal polling made him
we're make
feel
America
like he had to say, I will work really hard for you.
Let's do that together.
Andrew Yang.
Robust. If you've heard anything about me and my campaign, you've heard that someone is running for president who wants to give every American $1,000 a month. I know this may sound like a gimmick, but this is a deeply American idea from Thomas Paine to Martin Luther King
He's
to today.
He's a lot better this time.
Let me tell you why we need to do it and how we pay for it. Why do we need to do
it?
We already automated
idea.
Away millions of manufacturing jobs. And chances are your job could be next. If you don't believe
Much
me, just ask an auto
time.
Worker here in Detroit. Yeah. How do we pay for it? Raise your hand in the crowd if you've seen stores closing where you live. It is not just you. Amazon is closing 30% of America's stores and malls and paying zero
Name an
in taxes
Amazon too?
While doing it. So we need to do the opposite of much of what we're doing right now, and the opposite of Donald Trump is an Asian man who likes math.
That's a good line.
So let me share the math.
He's got the strongest applause so far.
$1,000 a month
the Yang gang's
for every
in
adult
there.
Would be $461 million every month right here in Detroit alone. The automation of our jobs is a central challenge facing us today. It is why Donald Trump is our president, and any politician not addressing it is failing the American people.
And in conclusion, fuck you, Majority Report. Hooker. Fuck you, TMB.
Yang's better than Williamson.
Last what? Week, the president of Yang's the better United than Williamson. States
I'm calling
attacked
it.
An American so city.
This is important to hear because this is
calling
be his,
it a
this
disgusting,
is be
rat-infested, rodent mess. We need a nation that understands that these tired, old language, the...
Oh, wow.
Fire Pantaleo.
This is a Bill de Blasio protest in the middle of
Bill de Blasio is not going to have a good night.
Good.
The like compensatory applause to drown out protests.
I don't think
weird.
People are doing that. Actually,
Donald Trump from Charleston to Baltimore to even the border is using the tired old language of demagogues, of fear mongers, of racists to try to divide our country against itself. We know who Donald Trump is, but in this election, the question is, who are we as a people? We have serious problems in America. We have deep wounds and seriously, deeply rooted challenges. We desperately need to heal as a nation and move forward. Because we know in this country that our fates are united, that we have a common destiny. The call of this election is the call to unite in common cause and common purpose. That's how we will beat Donald Trump. That's how I will beat Donald Trump. And as your president, that's how I will govern and move us forward together.
Senator Kamala Harris.
The sort of the unspoken subtext is Joe Biden can't bring some diversity.
This is a moment in time that is requiring us each as individuals and collectively to look in a mirror and ask a question. That question being, who are
when
we?
We need to talk about
this
putting...
Is, this
and I think
is
most of us know that part of the answer to that question is we
sounds
are
like
better
a robot.
Than this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this then becomes a moment
very robotic
that we must fight for the best of who we are. And
thanks
fight,
for talking
of course,
like a robot,
we will.
Sweetheart.
It's like
and
Beastie
this is
Boys
not a
intergalactic.
New fight for us as Americans. We have always been prepared to fight for our ideals. We have always been a nation that fights for the best of who we are. And I'll tell you, I come from fighters. My parents met when they were active in the civil rights movement. My sister Maya and I joke, we grew up surrounded by a bunch of adults who spent full time marching and shouting about this thing called justice. And I am prepared to march with you, to fight with you for the best of who we are and to successfully prosecute the case.
I would like to see like a word cloud that is imposed over the candidates every time we do it.
Vice President Joe Biden.
Tonight, I think Democrats are expecting some engagement here, and I expect we'll get it. I'm running for president to restore the soul of this country. You know, we have a president, as everybody's acknowledged here, every day is ripping at the social fabric of this country. But no one man has the capacity to rip that apart. It's too strong. We're too good. Just look at this stage, made up of very diverse people from diverse backgrounds.
He's going back to, I'm above
mayors,
all of this. It's
senators,
a smart
governors,
move.
Well, he's also being, he's trying to be nice up front to sort of make other people as jerks.
I'm above it, and if you go after me, you're a schmuck.
This is America.
It's smart.
And we are strong and great because of this diversity, Mr. President.
He's going to have a fine night.
Not in spite of it, Mr. President. So, Mr. President, let's get something straight.
Here comes Bill de Blasio to remind you.
We are not leaving it. We are here to stay, and we're certainly not going to leave it to you.
In real time.
Thank you, Vice President Biden. I want to start the debate with one of the top priorities for Democratic voters, and that is health care. Senator Harris, this week you released a new health care plan, which would preserve private insurance and take 10 years to phase in. Vice President Biden's campaign calls your plan, quote, a have-it-every-which-way approach, and says it's just part of a confusing pattern of equivocating about your health care stance. What do you say to that?
True. Well, they're probably confused because they've not read it. But the reality is that I have been spending time in this campaign listening to American families, listening to experts, listening to healthcare providers. Yeah. And what I came away with is a very clear understanding that I needed to create a plan that was responsive to the needs of the American people, responsive to their needs, understanding that insurance companies have been jacking up the prices for far too long, that American families have to be held down by deductibles and co-pays and premiums that can cause them bankruptcy. I listened to the American families who said 4 years is just not enough to transition into this new plan, so I devised a plan where it's going to be 10 years of a transition. I listened to American families who said, I want an option that will be under your Medicare system that allows a private plan. So I designed a plan where, yes, responsive to the needs of American families, there will be a public plan under my plan for Medicare and a private plan under my plan for Medicare. Because the bottom line is this. We must agree that access to health care must be a right and not just a privilege of those who can afford it. And in America today, far too many people, in fact, 30 million people, are going without access to health care.
Thank you, Senator Harris. Vice President Biden, your response.
Well, my response is that the senator's had several plans so far. And anytime someone tells you you're going to get something good in 10 years, you should wonder why it takes 10 years.
Right.
If you notice, there's no talk about the fact that the plan in 10 years will cost $3 trillion. You will lose your employer-based insurance. And in fact, you know, this is the single most important issue facing the public. And to be very blunt and to be very straightforward, you can't beat President Trump with double talk on this plan.
Your response, Senator Harris?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, Vice President Biden, you're just simply inaccurate in what you're describing. The reality is that our plan will bring health care to all Americans under a Medicare for All system. Our plan will allow people to start signing up on the first day. Babies will be born into our plan, and right now, 4 million babies almost are born every day in America, or every year in America. Under our plan, we will ensure that everyone has access to health care. Your plan, by contrast, leaves out almost 10 million Americans. So I think that you should really think about what you're saying, but be reflective and understand that the people of America want access to health care.
What percentage of those are African American?
And do not want cost to be their barrier to getting it.
Senator Harris, thank you. Vice President Biden, your response?
The plan, no matter how you cut it, costs $3 trillion when it is, in fact, employed. Number one, 10 years from now, after two terms of the senator being president, after her time. Secondly, it will require middle-class taxes to go up, not down.
Right. He's right.
Thirdly, it will eliminate employer-based insurance. And fourthly, what happens in the meantime?
You can attack it from both sides.
He's just attacking in the same way you would attack
Bernie. First
of
all, the cost of doing nothing is far too expensive.
Except for the 10 years.
Second,
we are now paying
$3 trillion
thing he said.
A year for health care in America. Over the next 10 years, it's probably going to be $6 trillion. We must act. My plan is about immediately allowing people to sign up and get into coverage. Right now in America, we have seniors who every day, millions of seniors, are going into the Medicare system. And they are getting full coverage and the kind of coverage they need. All people should have access to health care, and costs should not be there.
Thank you, Senator Harris. Mayor de Blasio, let's bring you in here. What's your
response?
Thank you. I don't know what the Vice President and Senator are talking about. The folks I talk to about health insurance say that their health insurance isn't working for them.
Right.
There's tens of millions of Americans who don't even have health insurance. Tens of millions more who have health insurance they can barely make work because of the co-pays, the deductibles, the premiums, the out-of-pocket expenses. There's this mythology that somehow all these folks are in love with their insurance in America. What I hear from union members and from hardworking middle-class people is they wish they had better insurance. And they're angry at private insurance companies that skim all the profits off the top and make it impossible for everyday people to get coverage like mental health care, dental care, the things that would be full coverage
Thank
for
you,
all
Mr.
Americans.
Mayor. Vice President Biden.
I wish he was always
Mayor
like
de Blasio.
Thank you, America's mayor.
Yeah, no, that's my America's
private
mayor
insurance
right there.
Industry are defending a health care system that is not working. What's your response?
My response is Obamacare is working. The way to build this and get to it immediately is to build on Obamacare. Go back and take back all the things that Trump took away, provide a public option,
meaning every single person in America would be able to buy another option if they didn't like their employer plan,
what?
Or if they're on Medicaid, they'd automatically be in the plan. It would be take place immediately, it would move quickly, and it would ensure the vast, vast, vast majority of Americans. In the
meantime,
that's
not what the public
what
option
did
was
tell
before.
You how much their plans cost? My plan cost $750
They're banning Twitch streams, it looks like.
That's what it costs.
Is that right?
Not
Destiny and a sign of God.
Vice President Senator Gillibrand, you support Medicare for all. How do you feel
We're
about
being deplatformed
Senator Harris
for our critical opinions
proposal,
and our
for
ideas
all, when it includes a far more significant role for private insurance than the bill you co-sponsored?
Folks,
for the viewers in the
go to our
right
website.
Now,
if we lose here, you can hear our audio.
The
watch the video.
The
turn the audio down, and you can hear
America
our audio. Go to
majority.fm
because they're gonna kill us on Twitch soon.
To eggs and his whole body turned red.
Can we put that into the description?
I had to rush him to the emergency room. My heart is palpitating because I'm
majority.fm.
worried that his throat will close. I am not worried about not having an insurance card or a credit card in my wallet. I know whatever they're going to prescribe, whether it's an EpiPen or an inhaler, I can afford it. The truth about healthcare in America today is people can't afford it. They cannot afford it. And the insurance companies for these plans that rely on insurance companies, I'm sorry, they're for-profit companies. They have an obligation to their shareholders. They pay their CEO millions of dollars. They have to have quarterly profits. They have fat in the system that's real,
we're
and it should
CNN
be going to
shut
healthcare.
That down too.
So let's not lose the forest for the trees. And last, let's not forget what the Republicans are doing.
Collaborate
because the
news
truth
network.
Is, the Republicans and Trump, their whole goal is to take away your healthcare.
Thank you.
To make it harder for you to afford it,
thank
even
you,
if
Senator
you have pre-existing
conditions.
There's
not much when Warren said, hey, stop lying about what Bernie's proposing.
In response to Senator
we're not talking
Biden
about taking
about
people's
health care
away, that was justified.
It is
but
important
this, like,
that you understand
of, like,
that our
Trump
Medicare for
do,
All plan has actually, by the architect of the Obama Affordable Care Act, been described
right
as one
now?
Of the most effective ways to bring health care to all. Kathleen Sebelius has Hold endorsed
on,
our plan as
Minecraft.
Being something that will get us to where we need to go. In terms of the point that Senator Gillibrand is raising, I couldn't agree more. Senator Biden, your plan will keep
girl.
And allow insurance companies to remain with status quo, doing business as usual. And
Harris
that's going to be about jacking up
Biden
co-pays,
right
jacking up deductibles.
You,
it will still be the situation
you,
that
Harris,
people
Vice
going
President
to an emergency
Biden,
room
response.
Have to come out $5,000.
Fun with Minecraft
My
it
plan
is.
Makes a limit of co-pay to be $1,000 because we further support the ability to buy into the Obamacare plan. Secondly, the idea that this is somehow a bad idea, no one has to keep their private insurance. But if they like their insurance, they should be able to keep it. Nothing is demanded in my plan that there be private insurance. It says if the 160 million people who have it say they like their employer insurance, they should
nothing
have a right to have it. If they don't, they can buy into the Biden plan, which is Obamacare.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you. Senator Booker, let me bring you in here.
Just love
you say
my insurance
you support
company.
Medicare for all. You also say you are not going to pull private health insurance from more than
wow,
150
looks like
million
the channels
Americans
are actually gone.
In exchange for a government plan.
Well,
but that's what Medicare
nice
for all
knowing
would
Twitch.
Do. So how do you square that?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the person that's enjoying this debate most right now is Donald Trump, as we pit Democrats against each other while he is working right now to take away America's
no,
health care.
There's
a court case working through the system that's
going
to
down
gut
with
the Affordable Care Act and actually gut protections on pre-existing conditions. And so I was raised by two civil rights parents who told me,
well,
always
we get,
keep your
we get banned,
eyes
we get banned.
On the prize.
That's so
and
whack.
That is that in the United
We're
States
outlaws.
Of America, every Democrat should stand with the belief that everyone
Capitalism
should have
ruins
access
the media.
To health care. That it's a
part
human
1 million.
Right. And how we get there, it has to be to end this broken
Majority Report
system,
Radio, folks.
We
when we go down, go to
MajorityReportRadio.com.
You can listen to us
20%
and then just watch
one of every
some other videos.
There's a red listen live button. I just checked it out. It works.
In every other nation, on everything from MRIs to insulin drugs, multiple more than other countries. And so you want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work
to get
us to a point
any of these people
Medicare
talk about health care.
Everyone is covered.
They all just suck
but this
so much.
They all are
so disingenuous.
Doing everybody on stage is doing so much work for Bernie Sanders right now.
That to me is dividing our party and demoralizing us in face of the real enemy here.
Thank
and
you,
I'm
Senator.
I'm going to keep fighting for that.
Thank
end.
You, Senator Booker. Congressman Gabbard, what's your response?
The reality is right now we don't have a health care system.
We have a sick care system, and there are far too many people in this country who are
going
sick
for Marianne,
and unable to get the care that they because they can't
afford
it. See, a bit of Marianne
is the
energy.
Fact that big insurance companies and big pharmaceutical companies who've been profiting off the backs of these people
kind of quackery,
have had a seat
at
the table writing this legislation.
I'll stop with your nerd.
Now, Kamala Harris just talked about Kathleen Sebelius, who helped write her bill. This just pointed to the fatal flaw in her proposal.
The vote.
Is she making
Sebelius works
player?
For Medicare Advantage, private insurance company who will stand to profit under her plan.
This is going after
if we're
Kamala.
Seeking to really reform our healthcare system, we've got to shut out big insurance and big pharma out of the drafting process so they cannot continue to profit off the backs of the sick people in this country who are searching and in desperate need of care.
Senator Harris, your response?
Well, unfortunately, Representative Gabbard got it wrong. Kathleen Sebelius did not write my plan. She endorsed it as being one of the plans that is the best to get us to a place where everyone is going to have access to health care in America. And when we talk about this again, I'm going to go back to Vice President Biden.
Under
because
Bernie's plan,
your plan does not cover everyone in America by your staff and your
That's
own definition.
Right
10
there.
Million people.
Yeah, stop
as
talking
as 10 million people will not have access to health care.
Very smart, yeah.
And in 2019 in America, for a Democrat to be running for president with a plan that does not cover everyone, I think is without excuse.
I said,
our
to
plan
take it easy
covers
on me,
everyone
kid.
And gives right. people choice.
I was
Thank
being
you,
serious.
Vice
President
Biden, your
response.
Well,
we'll cover
sweetheart.
Everyone. Number one. Number two,
Medicare
the fact
for all.
Is that my plan also calls for controlling drug prices. The biopharma is now where things are going to go. It's no longer chemicals. It's about all these breakthroughs we have with the whole, dealing with the whole immune system. And what we have to do now is we have to have a
second
form
time he's done
that sits in the HHS and says, as you develop a drug, you got to come to us and decide what you can sell it for. We will set the price. And secondly, it says that you cannot raise that price beyond the cost of inflation from this point on.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to bring in Senator Bennett. Last night on this stage, one of
he
your
calls directions
rivals suggested
well, he's super
that running
excited
on
to
Medicare
stop talking.
All,
yeah, it's the same thing as the first
re-elected.
So, look, the bottom line is Barack Obama, and it's going to be good. Likely. Oh, time's up.
Obama
on this
stage.
I've been slipped in Obama's name earlier.
I've been for a decade through two tough races in Colorado. I believe we should finish the job
we
started with the Affordable Care Act with a public option that gives everybody in this audience a chance
listen,
to pick for their
I'm no
family
huge
whether they want
Andrew
private
Yang
insurance
fan.
Or public insurance. It requires
but why,
drug companies to be negotiated
by this
with by
point
Medicare,
last night we knew everything
totally
about John Delaney
the
that there was possibly to
Senator
know
Warren
and he literally
Sanders
has 0.8% 0.8 of a percent support.
Employer-based
CNN
insurance in this country.
Andrew
Yang
is a good-natured, delusional millionaire.
Well, but he's got two or three percent.
Oh, no, he's a not only is he a 2 or 3%,
three times
he also has, and I'm sorry, I'm shocked at how much props I'm giving them, but he has a legit organic social movement behind him.
Yeah, it's a little too aligned with certain elements it shouldn't be with, but
sure, but it
nonetheless.
Exists.
Right.
Delaney has absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
No polls, no movement, but he does have money.
That's just because he hasn't paid them. He hasn't paid them.
Right. Secretary Castro, I want to bring you in.
I'll give you a
response. I'll come to you right after Secretary Castro. Secretary Castro.
Well,
again, majorityreporters@gmail.com. I mean, excuse me, majorityreportradio.com. If we get booted here,
got worse and worse. That whole time, she had Medicare. I want to strengthen Medicare for the people who are on it, and then expand it to anybody who wants it.
I did change.
I also believe, though, that if somebody has a private health insurance plan that is strong. That they
I had changed
to,
it and it went back.
They should be able to do that. What
serious?
I don't believe is that the profit motive of big pharma...
Getting an error establishing a database connection error, some people, when they go to majorityreportradio.com. Download the app,
Castro,
folks, and
Senator
try that.
Harris,
try the app
at
majorityapp.com.
Majorityapp.com. Is that true?
Well, first of all, with all due respect to my friend, Michael Bennett... my plan does not offer anything that is illegal. What it does is it separates the employer from health care, meaning that where you work will not be a... the kind of health care you get will not be a function of where you work.
Come on.
I have met so many Americans who stick to a job that they do not like,
healthcare.
Where they are not prospering, simply because they need the health care that that employer provides. It's time that we separate employers from the kind of health care people get, and under my plan, we do that. As it relates to the insurance and the pharmaceutical
companies,
who will not be called in and who will not be taken to task by Senator Biden or Senator Bennett's plan, we will do that.
Senator Bennett, I want to bring you back.
Senator Harris is my friend as well. But I have
Senator
to say,
if we can't admit tonight what's in the plan,
which is banning employer-based insurance, we're not going to be able to admit that when Donald Trump is accusing Democrats of doing that as well. We need to be honest about what's in this plan. It bans employer-based insurance and taxes the middle class to the tune of $30 trillion. Do you know how much that is? That is 70%
it needs to be simple.
What the government will collect in taxes over the next 10 years.
Oh,
we don't need to do that.
I do want to bring in Senator Harris because he just suggested you were not being honest.
We cannot keep with the Republican talking points on this. You got to stop. The reality is that what, under my Medicare for All plan,
so, folks, we got to make a decision here as to whether we're going to continue to stream because I'm getting texts from they've gotten rid of Destiny's channel.
Insurance companies and private carriers, if they comply by our rules and play by our rules,
will
be able to offer those employees health coverage under a private Medicare plan, or they can have the option of a public Medicare plan. But it is misleading to suggest that employees want what their employer is offering only. They want choice, and my plan gives that to them.
Thank you, Senator. Governor Inslee, I want to bring you in.
I got to think they put those channels back up soon.
A public option into law, which allows Washington state residents to purchase a state-backed plan if they want to, but this may only save families in Washington state as little as 5% off premiums. Is 5% really the kind of relief that the American people need?
No, we need universal coverage, and I'm proud of our state that has done
less
squabbling
and
actually getting things done.
Monetized.
And I'm proud of the first state to offer a publicly sanctioned offer of health care to our citizens.
Or
I'm
decide
also
we
proud
don't
that
care.
We didn't stop there. We're also
The good news we don't have much invested in.
We don't have anything invested in
seniors.
That.
We have a
we're up.
Aluminum
we're up until we're down.
Wave coming up. I'm proud that our state has made them eligible to retire in dignity.
We might be the last one standing.
I'm also
proud of this,
and I think we need to talk more about this.
By the way, screw Jake Tapper.
It is time to give people adequate
health care. Yeah, I hear Tapper's doing this himself in the commercial breaks.
And we are.
Tapper's just like they're just like. Was that misleading? Go back to her.
We've had some success in integrating mental health with physical health.
Take down
there's no reason we should distinguish between your physiological and your mental health. And the last thing we're doing, I think it's very instructive for the nation. We know we're being eaten alive by pharmaceutical costs. We have had one of, if not the most innovative way to drive down pharmaceuticals for life-saving medications in the United States. That's a record of Washington State. I'd like to take to Washington, D.C.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor Inslee. Mr. Yang, I want to bring you in. You support a Medicare for All system. How do you respond to Governor Inslee?
Well, I just want to share a story. When I told my wife I was running for president, you know the first question she asked me? What are we going to do about
healthcare? Why didn't you ask me?
That's a true story, and it's not just
this.
Us. Democrats are talking about healthcare in the wrong way. As someone who's run a business, I can tell you flat out our current healthcare system makes it harder to hire. It makes it harder to treat people well and give them benefits and treat them as full-time employees.
I'm glad someone
makes it
makes
it harder
argument.
To switch jobs, as Senator Harris just said, and it's certainly a lot harder to start a business. If we say, look, we're going to get health care off the backs
reasons
of
that
businesses
I care about,
and families,
but if they're compelling
then
to people,
American entrepreneurship recover and bloom. That's the argument we should be making to the American people.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Yang. Mayor de Blasio.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't understand why Democrats on this stage are fear-mongering about universal health care. It makes no sense. Ask the American people. They are sick of what the pharmaceutical companies are doing to them. Ask them what they feel about the health insurance companies. They feel it's holding back their families because they can't get the coverage they need. They get a lot of no's. They don't get a lot of help from health insurance companies. Why are we not going to be the party that does something bold? That says we don't need to be dependent on private insurance. We can have a system that actually covers everyone. You know what? Donald Trump won this state of Michigan by saying he was going to disrupt the status quo. How about we be the party that's going to disrupt the status quo for working people?
Mr. Mayor, just a 15-second point of clarification. Who are you talking about? Who's fear-mongering?
Certainly, with all due respect to Senator Bennett, what he's saying is absolutely inaccurate about taxes. Americans right now are paying so much money for their health care. Ask people about the reality of premiums, deductibles, co-pays, out-of-pocket expenses. That's worse than any tax.
Thank you.
And people are paying that right now.
Thank you,
boom.
Mr. Mayor.
Boom. Seriously. Yang and de Blasio.
This has nothing to do with Republican talking points.
or the pharmaceutical industry. This has to do with having faith in the American people that they can make the right decisions for their families, and they can choose a public option. Bernie Sanders, who said last night he wrote the damn bill, and he did, just like I wrote the damn public option bill, is the guy who says it'll cost $32 trillion and that we're going to have to raise those taxes to pay for it.
He's trying to steal Bernie's line now, too.
Don't try to distract from the truth.
Thank you, Senator.
You can't hide from the
truth.
I want to let Mayor de Blasio, and then we're going to come to you, Vice President Biden.
Senator, if we as Democrats say we're done with private insurance that has only hurt the American people in so many ways, we're going to give them something that works for their families, full coverage, that they can depend on. If we say that, then there's an election. The American people get to decide. The ultimate choice, Senator, is an election. And this should be the party that stands for universal health care and says, we're not going to accept anything less. Right now in America, so many people don't have the health care they need. That is a fact. Tens of millions of people, including middle-class people.
Mayor.
Give them a chance to make
Mayor.
That decision through an election.
Vice President Biden, your response.
This is not a Republican talking point. The Republicans are trying to kill Obamacare. Obamacare took care of 20 million people right off the bat, 100 million people with pre-existing conditions. And in fact, what we got is a public option that in fact would allow anybody to buy in. No one has to keep their private insurance. They can buy into this plan, and they can buy into it with a $1,000 deductible and never have to pay more than 8.5% of their income when they do it. And if they
who
don't
has to
have
pay
8.5%? Money, they're in free.
Wow.
So this
thank
idea
you.
Is a bunch of malarkey. Yeah.
Thank
we're talking
you.
About
oh.
here.
Oh,
fact
thank you
is,
so much for your generosity, Father.
That there will be a deductible. It will be a deductible
really
on your paycheck.
Really appreciate you updating the 2002 Jacob Hacker plan.
$30 trillion has to ultimately be paid. And I don't know what math you do in New York. I don't know what math you do in California. But I tell you, that's a lot
from
of
Vermont.
Money.
And
there will be a deductible.
Come on, Bill.
The
get a bill.
Will be out of your paycheck because that's what will be required.
Senator Harris, I want to bring you in here.
No, de Blasio, let de Blasio
yeah,
smack
let's
Biden.
Let's talk about math. Let's talk about math. Let's talk about the fact that the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies last year alone profited $72 billion. And that is on the backs of American families. And under your plan, status quo, you do nothing to hold the insurance companies to task for what they have been doing to American families. In America today, a diabetes patient's 1 in 4 cannot afford their insulin. In America today,
thank you, Senator.
For those people who have overdosed from an opioid, there is a syringe that costs $4,000 that will save their life. It is immoral, it is
thank
untenable,
you,
and it must change
up,
with
Senator.
Medicare for all.
Vice President Biden, your response?
Strong.
Real quick. I have the only plan that limits the ability of insurance companies to charge unreasonable prices. Flat out, number one. Number two, we should put some
because
of
you're the only one pushing for
totally
a private insurance
in
plan.
Jail for the 9 billion opioids they sell out there. They are misrepresenting the American people what need be done. And lastly, here's the deal. The deal is, let's figure out how this works. We immediately are able to cover everybody who wants to get off of their insurance
to the
plan they don't
crisis.
Like, no matter what one it is, and buy into a Medicare option. Thank and they can buy the gold plan, and they're not going to have to pay. Anyway,
ooh, the gold plan.
Anyway, I can't answer that.
I love the gold plan. Thanks, Joe, for the gold
plan. You think it should no longer be a crime to cross the U.S. border illegally? President Obama's Homeland Security Secretary, Jay Johnson, whom you served with, says that is a public declaration that the border is, quote, effectively open to all. How is he wrong?
Thank you for that question. You know,
thank you for asking me that.
If you elect me president, you're not electing me to follow. You're electing me to lead.
And polling said
open borders
cuck.
Is a right-wing talking point. And frankly, I'm disappointed that some folks, including some folks on this stage, have taken the bait. The only way that we're going to guarantee that we don't have family separations in this country again is to repeal Section 1325 of the Immigration and Nationality Act. That is the law that this president, this administration, is using to incarcerate migrant parents and then physically separate them from their children. My immigration plan would also make sure that we put undocumented immigrants who haven't committed a serious crime on a pathway to citizenship, that we do a 21st century Marshall Plan with Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala.
I do not
so that
trust
we can get to
Julian
the root
Castro
of this
to
challenge
implement that
type so people
of plan
can find safety and opportunity at home instead of having to come to the United States. That's how we can be smarter.
Good that he's introducing the idea,
though. Well, when it comes
Bernie
to immigration
talked about
policy.
A hat.
Thank you, Secretary Castro.
Last night.
Senator Bennett, what's your response?
But devil's very much in details.
I disagree that we should decriminalize our border. This is personal for me. My mom's an immigrant, and she was separated from her parents during the Holocaust.
And I was very much in favor of that.
And for those reasons, I was part of the Gang of Eight that wrote, I wrote, the immigration bill in 2013.
Well, honestly, like, what's the, how do you say that?
The Senate with 68 votes.
And then allow the criminalization across the border, which is the primary tool to separate, to kidnap
children. Passed the most progressive DREAM Act that had ever been conceived, much less passed on the floor of the Senate, and had $46 billion of border security. Every single Democrat voted for that bill.
Senator, in Delaware, we regular folks know math. That's how they charge you credit card
Thank
interest.
You, Senator.
That is our
right.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Harris, you have indicated that you don't think it should be a criminal offense punishable by jail to cross the U.S. border illegally. How do you respond to
Which is
to
shocking, because you basically
what
support
Jim Harry Booker.
Again, with all due respect, you know, after the last debate, for example, I went to a place in Florida called Homestead. And there is a private detention facility being paid for by your taxpayer dollars, a private detention facility that currently houses 2,700 children. And by the way, there were members of us, Julian was there, members of Congress, they would not let us enter the place, members of the United States Congress. So I walked down the road, I climbed a ladder, and I looked over the fence. And I'm going to tell you what I saw. I saw children lined up single file based on gender, being walked into barracks. The policies of this administration have been facilitated by laws on the book
you,
that
Senator.
Allow them to be incarcerated as though they've committed crimes.
Thank
These
you, Senator.
Children have not
Thank
committed
you,
crimes
Harris.
And should be not treated like criminals.
Senator Bennett, what's
the
your
parents
response?
Should go to jail.
Look,
we're not doing your homework.
I lost people in the Holocaust, so I can say yes, they should be.
I think this is one in the end that we agree with. There's not a single person on this stage, if we were president,
if you support the criminalization
from their parents at
for
the
crossing the border,
and that, is what,
that this, is what you support.
That right. is what this administration has done in the American
You're basically
name.
Like saying,
they
I don't support a hammer falling
a
from
of nativist
a third story window, but I do support
Donald
pushing
Trump
a hammer out a third story window.
And honestly, if you parrot the language of border
America,
security
not
and border
Trump.
Safety,
Thank you, Senator Bennett,
it's
Senator
a slippery
Jill,
slope
Jill,
to that, no matter
yeah.
what.
But this is the slope.
I think
this
when
is it's a cliff.
You
criminalize it, the courts allow you to separate the children from the parents.
I visited with women who had
That's why they criminalized it. That's why they instituted
small
That's
business. Gangs simple. Came to her and said, if you don't give us all your money, we're going to kill your family. That's why she fled. Another woman was raped. That's why she fled. So this is who we're talking about, and they're not criminals. So I believe that we should have a civil violation. No president before President Trump enforced the law in the way he has enforced it, because he's using it as the crutch to lock up women and children, to separate mothers and babies, to put them behind bars. So I don't
That's
think
it.
We should have a law on the books that can be so misused. It should be a civil violation, and we should make sure that we treat people humanely.
Right.
Thank you, Senator.
Well,
and listen to the Redirect podcast.
In the first 2 years
yeah,
of the Obama
to the
administration,
podcast.
Nearly 800,000 immigrants
right.
were deported, far more than during President Trump's first 2 years. Would the higher deportation rates resume if you're president?
Absolutely not, number one. Number two, everything...
I don't like
the
Obama now.
I love Barack in all the ways you love him
me,
and not...
The Secretary,
way.
We sat together in many meetings. I never heard him talk about any of this when he was the Secretary.
Please be respectful. Please be respectful in the
That's
crowd.
Being respectful, baby.
That is.
Exactly.
That's the content, homie.
Please
respectful
continue, to humanity.
Mr. Vice President.
Right.
Yes, good job, protesters.
The fact is, I don't know if you can hear, I can hear, but anyway.
We can hear fine, Mr. Vice President. Please continue.
I can't hear.
You can hear so well.
I can't hear even when those fucking people aren't yelling.
Asylum. Anyway, that woman, the women she spoke to are entitled to asylum.
That is not crossing the border illegally. What we should do is flood the zone to make sure we have people to make those decisions quickly. With regard to the Secretary's point, I already proposed and passed $750 million for Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras to be able to change the circumstance why people fled in the first place. In addition to that,
really?
We're in a circumstance where if, in fact, you say
Honduras.
You can just cross the border, what do you say to all those people around the world who, in fact, want the same thing to come to the United States and make their case, but they don't, that they have to wait in line? The fact of the matter
what?
Is you should be able to, if you cross the border illegally, you should
my
be able to be sent
time.
Back. It's a crime. It's a crime, and it's not one that, in fact...
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Secretary Castro, please.
He's like, thanks. You can cut in earlier next time, John.
Learn the lessons of the past.
Done. When I wave my hand, tell me I'm done.
That's a help.
What would he say?
Let me just start out by answering that question. My immigration plan would also fix the broken legal immigration system, because we do have a problem with that. Secondly, the only way that we're going to guarantee that these kinds of family separations don't happen in the future is that we need to repeal this law. There's still going to be consequences if somebody crosses the border. It's a civil action. Also, we have 654 miles of fencing. We have thousands of personnel at the border. We have planes. We
Come
have
on,
boats.
Man.
We have helicopters.
Step up
we have
and
security
say
cameras.
You
we
were sleeping in those news.
That actually have some guts on this issue. Thank you, Secretary. Mr. Vice President, please, your response.
I have guts enough to say his plan doesn't make sense. Here's the deal. The fact of the matter is
the deal.
That, in fact, when
Simone
people
Sanders
cross
told me to
the border illegally, it is illegal to do it unless they're seeking asylum. People should have to get in line. That's the problem. And the only reason this particular part of the law is being abused is because of Donald Trump. We should defeat Donald Trump and end this practice.
Yeah, the
Thank
one
you.
That matters
Congressman
is
Gavin, what's your response?
I'm the only one that matters.
Our hearts break when we see those children at these detention facilities who've been separated from their parents, when we see human beings crowded into cages in abhorrent, inhumane conditions. This is about leadership and understanding that we can and should have both secure borders as well as humane immigration policies. We will have to stop separating children from their parents, make it so that it's easier for people to seek asylum in this country, make sure that we are securing our borders and making it so that people are able to use our legal immigration system by reforming those laws.
Mr. Yang, your response.
I'm the son of immigrants myself. My father immigrated here as a graduate student and generated over 65 U.S. patents for GE and IBM. I think that's a pretty good deal for the United States. That's the immigration story we need to be telling. We can't always be focusing on some of the distressed stories. And if you go to a factory here in Michigan, you will
no
not
one ever
find
talks
wall-to-wall
about the wealthy
immigrants.
Immigrants.
You will find wall-to-wall robots and machines. No immigrants are being scapegoated
robots.
For issues they have nothing to do with in our economy.
We already
true.
Have open borders for the world class and
capital.
You have a plan that would, quote, virtually eliminate immigration detention. Does that mean that the roughly 55,000 migrants currently in detention would be released into the United States?
Oh, my God.
Well, first of all,
how could we possibly
say,
absorb
again,
them?
Tonight, we are playing into
a
Republican hands who have
right
a very different view, and they're trying to divide us against each other. I'm listening to the language of my colleagues. No, Mr. Vice President, we are not going to just let people cross the border. An unlawful crossing is an unlawful crossing. If you do it in the civil courts, or if you do it through the criminal courts. But the criminal courts is what is giving Donald Trump the ability to truly violate the human rights of people coming to our country who no one surrenders their human rights. And so doing it through the civil courts means that you won't need these awful detention facilities that I've been to, seeing children sleeping on pavement, people being put in cages, nursing mothers, small children. This is not necessary. We have seen using the civil
not
system
necessary.
Piloted
powerful,
programs that have 100% compliance with the civil courts, where people are evaluated. If they have no justifiable reason to be here, they are
sort
returned.
Sort of stunning. We have
if
had
are,
no questions
people
about
people I met in Juarez who were survivors
choice.
Of sexual assault who we wouldn't even let come and present for asylum. We are
CNN.
Butchering our values
yeah.
and making ourselves
Senator Booker,
less
thank
safe.
You very much. Mr. Vice President, your response.
I agree with the senator. The asylum process is a real process, and this president is ruining it. It has nothing to do with that section of the law. That's what he's doing, number one. Number two, we should, in fact, and we have
proposed... First of all, it does have something to do with this section of the law because they are pushing people away from the actual ports of entry and then saying that they crossed. And then they charge them with a criminal violation and then they separate the kids.
That's why we're so special. It took courage. It took resilience. It took absolute confidence for them to come. And we should be encouraging people. And by the way, anybody who crosses a stage with a PhD should get a green card for 7 years. We should keep them here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President. Right.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I'm at a third way meeting in 1985.
No one's asking why it should be a crime to cross the border without documents.
We can no longer allow a white nationalist to be in the White House, number one. And number two...
There you go.
Number two, we have to make America what it's always been, a place of refuge. We got to boost the number of people we accept. I'm proud of being the first governor saying, send us your Syrian refugees.
Right.
I'm proud of being the first governor to stand up against Donald Trump's Muslim ban. I'm proud to have sued him 21 times and beat him 21 times in a row. I'm ready for November 2020.
Good for you.
Go ahead, Mayor de Blasio, please, your response.
2 points. One, it's all kind of a charade because there's 11 million people here, and everyone, in theory, has broken the law, but they're part of our communities now. They're part of our economy. They're our neighbors. Why are we even discussing on one level whether it's a civil penalty or a criminal penalty when it's an American reality? And what we need is comprehensive immigration reform once and for all to fix it. Second, Vice President Biden. I didn't hear your response when the issue came up of all those deportations. You were Vice President of the United States. I didn't hear whether you tried to stop them or not using your power, your influence in the White House.
Smoke.
Did you think it was a good idea or do you think it was something that needed to be stopped?
Mr. The president came along and he's the guy that came up with the idea, first time ever, of dealing with the Dreamers. He put that in the law. He talked about a comprehensive plan, which he put on laid before the Congress, saying that we should find a pathway to citizenship for people. He said we should up the number of people that we're able to bring into this country. Lastly, he also pointed out that we should go to the source of the problem and fix it where people were leaving in the first place. So he did. To compare him to Donald Trump, I think, is absolutely bizarre.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President.
Congress doesn't answer the question.
You are a co-sponsor of the College for All Act, which would make public colleges and universities free for all Americans. One of the authors of that plan, Senator Sanders, believes college should be tuition-free for undocumented immigrants as well. Do you?
I don't. I think it's important for us to fix our legal immigration system and look at the millions of undocumented immigrants in this country who have been suffering as they've been living in the shadows. And instead of putting a Band-Aid on this problem... Point? Fix our legal immigration system to provide them with that
hashtag no point to Tulsi
or citizenship so that they're no longer treated as second-class citizens in this country. We've got to look at the challenge that people all across this country are facing under crushing student debt. This is something that is impacting my generation in a huge way, and I believe that it is our generation that has the bold, creative solutions to be able to solve it. This is about promise for our future, and we've got to make those kinds of investments.
Thank you,
and not make those promises.
Mayor de Blasio, what's your response?
Yeah, I agree with the Congress member, but I don't hear an answer from the Vice President. I'm confused. I asked the Vice President point blank, did he use his power to stop those deportations? He went right around the question. Mr. Vice President, you want to be President of the United States. You need to be able to answer the tough questions. I guarantee you, if you're debating Donald Trump, he's not going to let you off the hook. So did you say those deportations were a good idea? Or did you go to the president and say, this is a mistake, we shouldn't do it? Which one?
I was vice president. I am not the president. I keep my recommendations
private. Throw Obama under the bus, baby.
Unlike you, I expect you would go ahead and say whatever was said privately with him. That's not what I do. What I do say to you is
he moved to fundamentally
change the system. That's what he did. That's what he did. But much more has to be done. Much more has to
be
done.
I still don't hear an answer.
Senator Booker, please respond.
Well, a couple things. First of all, Mr. Vice President, you can't have it both ways. You invoke President Obama more than anybody.
Yeah.
In this
Here it comes.
And then
get him.
Oh, boy.
And the second thing, and this really irks me, because I heard the Vice President say that. If you got a PhD, you can come right into this country. Well, that's playing into what the Republicans want, to pit some immigrants against other immigrants. Some are from shithole countries. And some of
oh, here comes Cory.
Cory Booker can curse on Twitch.
Everyone has worth and dignity, and this should be a country that honors for everyone.
Except for Palestinians and Iranians.
Republicans divide this party against itself.
Senator, thank you. Mr. Vice President,
your response. The fact is, that's what I said about this country. We are a country of immigrants. All of us. All of us. Some here came against their will. Others came because they, in fact, thought they could fundamentally change their lives. And they did. The statute of a send us your. That's what we're talking about.
What?
That's what made us
sure
great.
You do it well.
And the fact of the matter is, I think the President of the United States, Barack Obama, went out of his way to try to change the system, and he got pushed back significantly.
And I had nothing to do
Senator
with Zilbrand, any of that.
What's your response?
I had none to do with the bad stuff.
President Trump, under his administration, 7 children died in his custody. Under his administration, families have been torn apart. This party is talking about real ideas for the future. We're talking about what we will do to change America. But we must not forget about our values. We used to believe in this country you should treat others the way you want to be treated. We used to believe in this country we should care about the least among us. Let's remind the American people who we are, why we are Democrats, and why we're running for president.
Senator Gillibrand, thank you very much. The debate will be right back.
Thank you, Christian. That was very substantive. That really was not something I expected to hear at a Democratic debate stage. Donald Trump is mean and immigrants are good. Thank you, Christian.
You really did a good job there. You didn't say anything, but it sounded like you did.
I like Tulsi Gabbard's whole like strategy is that like the electorate is some fusion of like sort of like Steve Bannon, surfers, and like I don't know,
I
a 19-year-old Tulsi self.
It's funny.
I'm
that
not even trying. Like I want to go easier on Tulsi, given all of the criticisms I have of her. No, I'm look. If we're gonna waste our time and have a bunch of candidates and not just get to it, great. I'm glad that there's somebody who opposes intervention in Venezuela and supports Medicare for all. She's better than Bennett, but
and
it
meditate.
Is just
let's be
so
real.
Bizarre. That it's just not bizarre. She's genuinely attached to some pretty right wing positions on immigration.
They all are.
She voted against refugees. That stands out.
Tulsi fans like to pretend, or they hate Elizabeth Warren because she's actually tight with Bernie,
right.
And they like to suggest Elizabeth Warren is some sort of like fash like co-optation of Bernie's
right.
energy, but. The truth is that there's a lot more evidence that Tulsi is an attempt at that that's failing miserably.
I have plenty of criticism of Elizabeth Warren, but it is incredible that someone could come at you exactly with that sort of Elizabeth is the Trojan horse energy when Warren, at least her answers on things like immigration are going to be far more humane. Weird.
Well, the other thing I think that we should just contemplate is that maybe she is maybe she sees a different path for herself.
Well, I mean,
down the road.
I think she could see a
I don't know.
Fox News contributor
I don't
type
know.
Path?
I, mean, I don't know.
Podcast
I,
path?
I, or just
run
I don't
with
know.
Rand,
different party?
Ron
I mean, who knows?
Paul in the main.
I don't know.
I don't but even there it's like It doesn't.
I mean, I can come
sense.
Up with an answer, frankly, as to what almost every person on that stage, what their agenda is. Now, maybe she thinks this is her way to becoming a senator of Hawaii, but that doesn't seem like it at all.
Hawaii is a super
right?
blue state.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, I mean, I can go down the line and I can tell you why every one of those people is running. You get like the troika of old white guys who are like, why wouldn't I run? I think I could be president and I got it's not going to cost me anything.
Right.
And then there are others who are trying to run message campaigns or set up future runs. But I don't know how you project a future in the Democratic Party where you are where she's at in terms of immigration and she's trying to run in the progressive lane.
Yeah,
like, I just
very,
don't, it's incongruous.
It's odd.
Maybe
odd.
She's just a bad politician. She doesn't,
it might be her sincere beliefs, but that's so great. I respect that. All the more damning. For what it's worth, there's, as I say, Elizabeth Warren supports sanctions on Venezuela. I mean, I've pretty fundamental problems with a lot of them, so I'm not holding it just to Tulsi, but the energy around here, her, that she's some singular humanitarian peace advocate with those kind of positions, totally bizarre.
Yeah, well, I think she might be the official candidate of the dumb-dumb left. I think that's been established.
Maybe right, you're a fucking sellout.
They went down a complete, like, dead end with her. That's why they resent Elizabeth Warren so much.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. It's a great chance for them to do what they love best, which is dig their heels in and get really pissed off when they're called out on their dumbness.
Meanwhile, Tulsi Gabbard's the only one that opposes
war. What is a raging crisis in our country, unquote. Why is Senator Booker wrong?
Well, I think he is wrong. Meanwhile, I think we should work together. He has a similar plan. I think that we should change the way we look at prisons. Right now, we're in a situation where when someone is convicted of a drug crime, they end up going to jail and to prison. They should be going to rehabilitation. They shouldn't be going to prison. When in prison, they should be learning to read and write and not just sit in there and learn how to be better criminals. That when they get out of prison, they should be in a situation where they have access to everything they would have had before, including Pell Grants for education, including making sure that they're able to have housing, public housing, including they have all
the
opportunities that were available to them because we want them to become better citizens. That's the essence of what my plan in detail lays out. I'm happy to discuss it more in detail if the senator would want to. And so I looked at it anyway.
I don't know what my plan does,
and I think it's not dissimilar to what the senator said. We should be working together on getting things done.
Senator Booker, your response?
Well, my response is that this is a crisis in our country because we have treated issues of race and poverty, mental health and addiction with locking people up and not lifting them up. And Mr. Vice President has said that since the 1970s, every major crime bill, major and minor, has had his name on it. And sir, those are your words, not mine. And this is one of those instances where the house was set on fire and you claimed responsibility for those laws. And you can't just now come out with a plan to put out that fire. We have got to have far more bold action on criminal justice reform, like having true marijuana justice. Which means
Thank
that we
Senator
legalize
Booker.
It on a federal level.
Yeah.
And
understand,
the profits
Booker
in
is trying to do what Harris
did. Disproportionately targeted
because he wants to set himself up as a potential vice president.
Vice president. Fact is that
I'd like to see what story he pulls out for this one.
That the senator is talking about
Don't touch
are bills
me.
That were passed That's years ago, say. And they were passed overwhelmingly. Since 2007, I, for example, tried to get the crack powder cocaine totally eliminated. In 2007, you became mayor, and you had a police department that was, you went out and you hired Rudy Giuliani's guy, you engaged in stop and frisk, you had 75% of those stops reviewed as illegal, you found yourself in the situation where three times as many African-American kids were caught in that chain and caught up. The Justice Department came after you for saying you were engaging in behavior that was inappropriate, and then, in fact, and nothing happened. The entire time you were mayor.
Thank you, Senator.
Take each
Senator
other
Booker.
Down.
Nice.
Well, first of all, I'm grateful that he endorsed my presidency already. But I'll tell you this. It's no secret that I inherited a police department with massive problems and decades-long challenges. But the head of the ACLU
department.
Has already said, the head of the New Jersey ACLU, that I put forth national standard setting accountability. Mr. Vice President, I didn't interrupt you. Please show me that respect, sir.
Nice.
We have a system right now that's broken. And if you want to compare records, and frankly, I'm shocked that you do, I am happy to do that. Because all of the problems that he is talking about that he created, I actually led the bill that got passed into law that reverses the damage that your bills that you were, frankly, to correct you, Mr. Vice President, you were bragging, calling it the Biden crime bill up till 2015.
Thank you, Senator. Vice President Biden.
That's good.
Number one, the bill he talks about is a bill that in our administration we passed.
That
bill that you added on to. That's the bill, in fact, you passed. And the fact of the matter is, secondly, there was nothing done for the entire 8 years he was mayor. There was nothing done to deal with the police department that was corrupt. Why did you announce in the first day a zero
tolerance policy of stop and frisk and hire Rudy Giuliani's guy in 2007.
Good direct question.
When I was trying to get rid of the crack cocaine.
Mr. Vice President, there's a saying in my community, you're dipping into the Kool-Aid and you don't even know the flavor. You need to come to the city of New York and see the reforms that we put in place.
New Jersey
head of the ACLU has said that I embraced reforms, not just in action, but in deed. Sir, you are trying to shift the view from what you created. There are people right now in prison for life for drug offenses because you stood up and used that tough on crime phony rhetoric that got a lot of people elected but destroyed communities like mine. This isn't about the past, sir. This is about the present right now. I believe in redemption.
Thank you, Senator.
I'm happy you evolved.
I want to bring in
but
Secretary.
But you offered no redemption to the people in prison right now.
I want to bring in Secretary Castro. Your response, sir?
I agree with Senator Booker.
We got a saying in our neighborhood. I agree with Senator Booker. You're dipping into the Kool-Aid and you don't even know the flavor.
Vice President.
What neighborhood is that?
He
lives in a pretty nasty place in Newark.
But let me say, when we talk about criminal justice reform, there are a lot of things that we can talk about. Sentencing reform, cash bail reform, investing in public defenders, diversion programs. I'm proud that I'm the only candidate that has put forward a police reform plan. Because we have a police system that is broken, and we need to fix it. And whether it's...
I shouldn't say nasty, but he lives in a serious neighborhood in Newark. He's lived in the same neighborhood for his entire time there.
Where the Trump Justice Department just decided not to pursue charges. We need to ensure we have a national use of force standard. And that we end qualified immunity for police officers so that we can hold them accountable for using excessive force.
Thank you, Secretary Castro.
I bet his apartment is pretty good.
Governor Inslee, your response?
Let me suggest that people come out to the state of Washington and see what criminal justice reform looks like. Our effort to reduce racial disparity. I'm proud that I was the first governor to offer pardons to thousands of people with drug crimes. Now we're vacating more tens of thousands. We've eliminated the death penalty. And importantly, we've done this. When people come out of the legal system and they've done their responsibility to the citizens, we need to make sure they can get a job. We have banned the box so that people can actually get a job when they come out. And I've got to argue with my friend Secretary Castro. We haven't just put forward a plan. We have adopted probably one of the best police accountability measures and train our police officers in de-escalation techniques so we have less violence.
Secretary Castro, your response to Governor Inslee?
Well, that it's much more than that, because what we see, and this was a good example the other day of the Department of Justice not going after Officer Pantaleo, that Officer Pantaleo used a chokehold that was prohibited by NYPD. He did that for 7 seconds, 11 different times. Eric Garner said that he couldn't breathe. He knew what he was doing, that he was killing Eric Garner, and yet he has not been brought to justice. That police officer should be off the street.
Props to him for bringing up Pantaleo, seriously.
Why is that police officer still on the force, the one who killed Eric Garner? Please respond.
Let me tell you, I know the Garner family. They've gone through extraordinary pain. They are waiting for justice, and they're going to get justice. There's finally going to be justice. I have confidence in that. In the next 30 days in New York. You know why? Because for the first time, we are not waiting on the federal Justice Department, which told the city of New York that we could not proceed because the Justice Department was pursuing their prosecution. And years went by, and a lot of pain accrued. And in the meantime, what I'm working on is making sure, and I have for 5 years, there will never be another tragedy. There will never be another Eric Garner because we're changing fundamentally how we police.
Thank you, Mayor.
But there's one last point I have to say about the Justice Department. The Vice President, for 2.5 of those years, Mr. Vice President, tell us, what did you do to try and spur on the Justice Department to act in the Garner case?
Thank you, Mayor de Blasio. Vice President Biden, you can respond to that.
We did a lot. Number one, we made sure we reduced the federal prison population by 38,000 people, number one. Number two, we in fact insisted that we change the rules that police engage in. They had that we provided for body cameras. We made sure that there were a lot of things that were changed in the process. But 38,000 people in the federal system were released under the system. And so the fact is that there's a lot we've done. But here's the deal. The fact is that we're talking about things that occurred a long, long time ago. And now all
people
of a
still
sudden,
in jail,
I find it fascinating. Everybody's talking about how terrible I am on these issues.
Barack Obama knew exactly who I was. He had 10 and he needed to prove background check
to a lot of racists out there that he was.
And he chose me, and he said it was the best decision he made.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Yeah,
Mr. Yang, your response.
I speak for just about everyone watching when I say I would trust anyone on this stage much more than I would trust our current president on matters of criminal justice. We cannot tear each other down. We have to focus on beating Donald Trump in 2020. I want to share a story that a prison guard, a corrections officer in New Hampshire, said to me. He said we should pay people to stay out of jail because we spend so much when they're behind bars. Right now, we think we're saving money. We just end up spending the money in much more dark and punitive ways. We should put money directly into people's hands, certainly when they come out of prison, but before they go to prison.
Thank you, Mr. Yang. I want to bring in Senator Gillibrand. You heard earlier Mayor de Blasio respond to Secretary Castro on the question of why the police officer who killed Eric Garner is still on the NYPD. Was that response adequate? Please respond.
No, he should be fired. He should be fired now.
She's talking about Bill de Blasio.
I sat down with Eric Garner's mother, and I can tell you, when you've lost your son, when he begged for breath, when you know because you have a video, when you know he said, I can't breathe so many times over and over again, when you know he used an illegal chokehold, that person should be fired. And if I was the mayor, I'd fire him. But as president, I would make sure that we had a full investigation, that the report would be made public. And if I wasn't satisfied, we would have a consent decree.
I want to bring in Senator Harris now. Senator Harris, you have also been quite critical of Vice President Biden's policies on race, specifically on the issue of busing in the 1970s, having benefited from busing when you were a young child. Vice President Biden says that your current position on busing,
history.
You're opposed to federally mandated busing, that position is the same as his position. Is he right?
That is simply false. And let's be very clear about this. When Vice President Biden was in the United States Senate working with segregationists to oppose busing, which was the vehicle by which we would integrate America's public schools, had I been in the United States Senate at that time, I would have been completely on the other side of the aisle. And let's be clear about this. Had those segregationists their way, I would not be a member of the United States Senate, Cory Booker would not be a member of the United States Senate, and Barack Obama would not have been in the position to nominate him to the title he now holds. And so on that issue, we could not be more apart, which is that the vice president has still failed to acknowledge that it was wrong to take the position that he took at that time. Now, I would like to also talk about this conversation about Eric Garner, because I, too, met with his mother. And one of the things that we've got to be clear about is that this president of the United States, Donald Trump, while he has been in office, has quietly been allowing the United States Department of Justice to shut down consent decrees, to stop pattern and practice investigations.
It hasn't been that quiet.
On that
Jeff Sessions made it very public.
Civil Rights Division, this is important. The Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice said charges should have been filed, but this United States Department of Justice usurped, and I believe it is because that president did not want those charges to go forward, and they overrode a decision by the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice. Under my administration, the Civil Rights Division will reign, and there will be independent investigations.
Vice President Biden, I want to give you a chance to respond to what Senator Harris just said.
When Senator Harris was the Attorney General for 8 years, in the state of California.
Nice.
There were two of the most segregated school districts in the country, in Los Angeles and in San Francisco. And she did not, I didn't see a single solitary time she brought a case against them to desegregate them. Secondly, she also was in a situation where she had a police department when she was there that, in fact, was abusing people's rights. And the fact was that she, in fact, was told by her own people, that her own staff, that she should do something about and disclose to defense attorneys like me that you, in fact, have been
the
police officer did something that did not give you information would exculpate your
She was a prosecutor.
She didn't do that. She DSA never did Joe. It. So what happened?
Yeah, they're going to take each other down.
Said,
it's great.
Enough, and he freed a thousand of these people. If you doubt me, Google 1,000 prisoners freed, Kamala Harris.
Thank you, Vice President Biden. Senator Harris, your response.
using the cheating technique.
Never been a cop.
Google it.
And as Attorney General of California, where I ran the second largest Department of Justice in the United States, second only to the United States Department of Justice, I am proud of the work we did.
You missed the best part.
What has been the important work for reforming a criminal justice system and cleaning up the consequences
of
the bills that you passed when you were in the United States Senate for decades. It was the work initiatives around reentering former offenders and getting them jobs and counseling.
Thank you, Senator.
I did the work as Attorney General of putting body cameras on special agents in the state of California, I'm proud of that work.
I want to bring in Congresswoman Gabbard. Congresswoman Gabbard, you took issue with Senator Harris confronting Vice President Biden at the last debate. You called it a, quote, false accusation that Joe Biden is a racist. What's your response?
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record.
Good.
There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana.
Tulsi.
An innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of
way. She's also not
a
real
Indian. Senator Harris, your response.
As the elected Attorney General of California, I did the work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work. And I am proud of making a decision to not just give fancy speeches or be in a legislative body and give speeches on the floor, but actually doing the work of being
of
in the position to use
in jail.
The power that I had to reform a system that is
the
badly
work
needed.
Of
terrorizing
Paris.
That is why we created initiatives that were about reentering former offenders and getting them counseling.
Keys.
It is why, and because I know that criminal justice system is
Senator.
So broken, that I am an advocate for what
Thank
we need
you,
I feel like
not
we should just jettison the entire, this entire group and just
in your response.
Set them
the
off into space.
Yeah, Senator I love Harris, it. When you were in a position to make a difference and an impact
the more
in
blood
these people's
drawn tonight,
lives,
the better on
you
all
did
sides.
Not, and worse yet, in the case of those who were on death row, innocent people, you actually blocked evidence from being revealed that would have freed them until you were forced to do so. There
Raise
is no
the
excuse
time,
for that.
Please.
And the people who suffered under your reign as prosecutor, you owe them an apology.
Senator Harris.
You should bring up
Tom Perez.
My
line one.
Career,
Tom Perez, line one.
Personally opposed to the death penalty,
Get
and that
them
has
off
never
the stage.
Changed. And I dare
and she's
anybody
going,
who
is
in
this?
A position to make that decision to face the people I have faced to say I will not seek the death penalty. That is my background. That is my work. I am proud of it. I think you can judge people by when they are under fire, and it's not about some fancy opinion on a stage, but when they're in the position
it was
to
under
actually
fire
make
when
a decision,
I wrote that
what do
letter
they do?
To parents
when
about their
truant
kids.
When I was in the position
kids.
Of having to decide whether or not
you
to seek
there.
A death penalty on cases I prosecuted,
Pretty
I
easy
made
to
a very difficult decision that
board
was not
op,
popular
give you
to
fancy
not seek
speeches.
The death penalty. History shows that, and I am proud of those decisions.
Senator Harris, thank you very much. Senator Bennett, a question for you. Why are you the best candidate to heal the racial divide that exists in this country
That's
today,
a funny question.
Which has been stoked by the president's racist rhetoric?
Yeah, first of all, the president's racist rhetoric should be first enough grounds for everybody in this country
I have something called
to vote him out of
whiteness?
Office. That one thing alone should
word.
Be enough.
What about impeachment, Chief?
I want to answer your question by tagging on the conversation we were just having.
Other things.
This is the fourth debate that we have had and the second time that we have been debating what people did 50 years ago with busing when our schools are as segregated today as they were 50 years ago.
Have you signed on to Bernie's school desegregation
we
plan, boring man?
We need to talk about what's happening now. And when there's a group of kids in this country that don't get preschool through no fault of their own and another group does, equal is not equal. And we've got a group of K-12 schools that are good because families can spend $1 million, and you've got the Detroit public schools that are as segregated as they were, equal is not equal.
So do you support Bernie's plan?
And let me tell you something else, Don. I believe you can draw a straight line from slavery through Jim Crow, through the banking and the redlining to the mass incarceration that we were talking about on this stage a few minutes ago.
There we go.
But you know what other line I can draw? 88% of the people in our prisons dropped out of high school. Let's fix our school system, and maybe we can fix the prison pipeline that we have.
Thank you, Senator Bennett.
I think I don't know if education is really the point of
economic inequality.
Yeah. Harris jumps in. Exactly. That's like, why I put poor kids' parents in jail.
Right. Yeah, that's teachers as social workers.
Because
too.
Exactly.
I have not experienced what many Americans have. I've never been a black teenager pulled over in a white neighborhood. I've never been a woman talked over in a meeting.
Or wrongly oozes
I've never been
decency.
An LGBT yeah.
in a way that is
yeah.
like not
subject to
yeah.
a slur.
On the stage besides that.
And so
You're
I
really
believe
nice
I have an added responsibility,
totally.
A double
Honestly.
Responsibility to deal
yeah,
with
like
racial
the
disparity.
One who believed
We've talked
in you.
On the way we do
he
it, including
that.
Ending,
coaches
ending
football
the
and teaches
prison
civics.
Pipeline in my state. But I want to say this, and this is a common error, that every single senator on this stage, as much as I respect them all, they all have an enormous error, which is going to prevent our party from making any progressive progress in the United States. And it is this. We are all going to work like the Dickens to get more Democrats elected to the Senate, right? We are going to do that. And I hope we're going to succeed. But if we get a majority in the U.S. Senate, because of the position of these senators, not a damn thing's going to get done. And I'll tell you why. With all their good intentions, and I know they're very sincere and passionate, and I respect them enormously, but because they embrace this antediluvial, a supermajority thing called the filibuster, Mitch McConnell is going to run the U.S. Senate,
good for him.
Even if we take a majority.
Get it,
we got to get rid of the filibuster.
I want Inslee.
Just Mr. for that, Inslee. I'm going to remember
Mr.
his
Yang,
name.
Inslee's number two,
to
maybe.
Heal the racial divide in America. Your response.
Bernie should listen to it.
I spent 7 years running a nonprofit that helped create thousands of jobs, including hundreds right here in Detroit, as well as Baltimore, Cleveland, New Orleans.
Actually
and I saw that the racial disparities are much, much worse than I'd ever imagined. They're even worse still. A study just came out that projected the average African-American median net worth will be zero by 2053. So you have to ask yourself, how is that possible? It's possible because we're in the midst of the greatest economic transformation in our history. Artificial intelligence is coming. It's going to displace hundreds of thousands of call center workers, truck drivers, the most common job in 29 states, including this one. And you know who suffers most in a natural disaster? It's people of color, people who have lower levels of capital and education and resources. So what are we going to do about it? We should just go back to the writings of Martin Luther King, who in 1967, his book Chaos Our Community said, we need a guaranteed minimum income in the United States of America.
Yo,
that is the
look,
most effective way
I'm sorry,
for us to
address
the
former, he's having a great night.
Night and day compared to
every American
night and day.
Chance in the 21st century economy.
Mr. Yang, thank you very much. Secretary Castro, after the president's racist tweets attacking Baltimore and Congressman Elijah Cummings, the mayor of Baltimore slammed the tweets and said to the president, and I quote here, help us. Send the resources that we need to rebuild America.
Well,
so what would you
down.
Do for Baltimore and other cities that need help?
First of all, the president is a racist, and that was just one more example of it.
Now everybody
we know
my
that
lines.
Whether it's Baltimore or cities like Detroit, they have they're tremendously rich in history and culture and also in possibility. Here's what I would do if I'm president. Number one, I would invest in tremendous educational opportunity, invest in universal pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, invest in improving K through 12 education and also making higher education available to everyone through tuition free public state universities, community colleges and job training and certification programs. I would follow up on the work that I did at HUD. We passed the most sweeping rule to further desegregate our communities in the United States. This Trump administration set that back. I would put that back in order. I would also invest in housing that is affordable because folks know that the rent is going through the roof. And we need to make sure that you don't have to get out of West Baltimore or inner city Detroit or the west side of San Antonio or anywhere if you want to reach your American dream. I want you to be able to accomplish it in your great neighborhood thank where you are.
Thank you, Secretary Castro. Senator Gillibrand, what's your response?
Castro's going to expropriate all the landlords.
I don't believe that it's the responsibility of Corey and Kamala to be the only voice that takes on these issues of institutional racism, systemic racism in our country. I think as a white woman of privilege who is a U.S. senator running for president of the United States, it is also my responsibility to lift up those voices that aren't being listened to. And I can talk to those white women in the suburbs that voted for Trump and explain to them what white privilege actually is. That when their son is walking down a street with a bag of M&Ms in his pocket, wearing a hoodie, his whiteness is what protects him from not being shot.
I'm sure that'll work on all of the Trump voters.
Has a car that breaks down, and he knocks on someone's door for help, and the door opens, and the help is given. It's his whiteness that protects him from being shot. That is what white privilege in America is today. And so my responsibility is to not only lift up those stories, but explain to communities across America, like I did in Youngstown, Ohio, to a young mother, that this is all of our responsibilities, and that together we can make our community stronger.
Thank you, Senator Gillibrand. Let's now turn to the issue of the climate
crisis.
Trump
voters like
having white
privilege, no?
The United Nations says the world needs to cut all carbon emissions by 2050 or risk facing disastrous consequences. Governor Inslee, many of your fellow Democratic candidates say climate change is the biggest existential threat facing the country. You, though, are calling it the number one priority in your campaign. What do you know that the others don't?
Well, I know the firsthand terrific impact of climate change on Americans across the country already. The family who I saw with their aluminum home, now just a pile of molten aluminum, they lost everything in the Paradise fires. The nonprofit in Davenport, Iowa, that was washed away in the floods. We have to act now. Look, climate change is not a singular issue. It is all the issues that we Democrats care about. It is health. It is national security. It is our economy. And we know this. Middle ground solutions, like the vice president has proposed, or sort of middling, average-sized things, are not going to save us. Too little, too late is too dangerous. And we have to have a bold plan, and mine has been called the gold standard. Now, we also need to embed environmental justice. I was in zip code 48217 in the Detroit neighborhood the other day, right next to an oil refinery where the kids have asthma and they have cancer clusters. And after talking to these folks, I believe this. It doesn't matter what your zip code
is.
It doesn't matter what your color is. You ought to have clean air and clean water in America. That's what I believe.
Vice President Biden, I'd like to get you to respond. Governor Inslee just said that your plan is middling.
There is no middle ground about my plan. The fact of the matter is, I call for the immediate action to be taken. First of all, one of the things that we're responsible for 15% of all the pollution in the country. He's right about how it affects people, and it affects neighborhoods, particularly poor neighborhoods. But here's the deal. In that area, there's also another piece. 85% of it is something I helped negotiate, and that is the Paris Climate Accord. I would immediately rejoin that Paris Accord. I would make sure that we up the ante, which it calls for. I would be able to bring those leaders together who I know. I'd convene them in the White House like we did in the nuclear summit, and I would raise the standard.
Thank you,
I also invest $400 billion in research for new alternatives to deal with climate change.
$400 billion.
Vice President Biden's remarks just now was that the United States is only 15% of global emissions. We like to act as if we're 100%. But the truth is, even if we were to curb our emissions dramatically, the Earth is still going to get warmer. And we can see it around us this summer. The last 4 years have been the four warmest years in recorded history. This is going to
with
be a tough
bucks,
truth,
you can buy
but
a new
we are
air
too late.
Every month.
We are 10 years too late. We need to do everything we can to start moving the climate in the right direction, but we also need to start moving our people to higher ground. And the best way to do that is to put economic resources into your hands so you can protect yourself and your families.
I was challenged by the Vice President. May I be heard on this for a moment?
Go ahead, Governor.
Thank you very much.
Best.
Look, we have these deadlines are set by science. Mr. Vice President, your argument is not with me, it's with science. And unfortunately, your plan is just too late. The science tells us we have to get off coal in 10 years.
Yes.
Your plan does not do that. We have to have off of fossil fuels in our electrical grid in 15. Your plan simply does not do that. I've heard you say that we need a realistic plan. Here's what I believe. I believe that survival is realistic, and that's the kind of plan we need.
Yeah.
And that's the kind I have.
My plan calls for 500,000 charging stations around the country, so by 2030, we're all electric vehicles. My plan calls for
making sure that we have $400 billion invested in technology to learn how to contain what we're doing, creating 10 million new jobs. We will double offshore wind. We will end any subsidies for coal or any other fossil fuel. But we have to also engage the world while we're doing it. We have to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just to clarify,
how long
would
we workshop that one?
Place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated and no more subsidies. Either any fossil fuel.
We can't. We cannot work it out. We cannot work this out. The time is up.
This
is on fire. We have to stop using coal in 10 years.
Seriously.
And we need a president to do it or it won't get done.
Infrastructure.
Get off coal.
No bumps in the road.
And the planet. That's what I'm for.
Senator Harris, your response?
I mean, I have to agree with Governor Inslee, and I'm going to just paraphrase one of your great sayings, Governor, which is we currently have a president in the White House who obviously does not understand the science. He's been pushing science fiction instead of science fact. The guy thinks that wind turbines cause cancer, but what in fact they cause is jobs. And the reality is that I would take any Democrat on this stage over the current president of the United States who is rolling it back to our collective peril. We must have and adopt a Green New Deal on day one as president. I would re-enter us in the Paris Agreement and put in place so we would be carbon neutral by 2030.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Senator Gillibrand, you are co-sponsor
I can't help
of
but
the
think
Green New Deal,
that
which includes
almost every one of these candidates are told by their staff,
job with medical
make
leave,
sure you pick a time where you say,
for
I would take anyone on
the
stage over Trump.
Yes.
That's got to
so
have been in your portfolio tonight.
You should get the cane for that.
If you're the person on the staff, that's your job. You should get the cane for that.
The second thing I'm going to do is I will re-engage on global climate change. And I will not only sign the Paris Global Climate Accords, but I will lead a worldwide conversation about the urgency of this crisis. The greatest threat to humanity is global climate change. I visited
a
family in Iowa who water spewed into her home, Fran Parr. It tossed her refrigerator upend. All the furniture was broken. All the dishes were broken and mud was everywhere. That is the impact of severe weather right now on families' lives. And so the truth is we need a robust solution. When John F. Kennedy said, I want to put a man on the moon in the next 10 years, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. He knew it was going to be a measure of our innovation, our success, our ability to galvanize worldwide competition.
Jackie Gleason hasn't been funny in years.
Why not have a
green
and
frankly, the honeymoon
is
sad.
Why not have clean air and clean water for
all
Americans? Why not rebuild our infrastructure? Why not actually invest in the green jobs? That's what the Green New Deal is about.
Thank you.
Not only will I pass it, but I will put a price on carbon to make market forces help us.
Thank you, Senator. Yeah, Congresswoman Gabbard, you are not a co-sponsor of the Green New Deal.
Nothing
please
to
respond.
Solve problems created by the market,
first of all, this
like more
is personal.
Market.
You can imagine, I grew up in Hawaii, which is the most remote island chain in the world. So for us, growing up there, protecting our environment was not a political issue. It's a way of life. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are. This is why, as a member of Congress, long before there was ever a Green New Deal, I introduced the most ambitious climate change legislation ever in Congress called the Off Fossil Fuels Act that actually laid out an actionable plan to take us from where we are today to transition off of fossil fuels and invest in green renewable energy, invest in workforce training, invest in the kinds of infrastructure that we need to deal with the problems and the challenges that climate is posing to us today.
What's a dollar figure?
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Booker, what's your response? Is the job guarantee in the Green New Deal realistic?
I just want to take, first of all, a step back and say that I agree wholeheartedly with Governor Inslee. It's one of the reasons why Greenpeace ranks me and him at the top of this entire field
second,
of their candidates
Corey,
on
that's
climate.
Close. Second, but close.
Hey,
you're just
hey.
Close.
I want to say very clearly, thank you, man. Thank you. I'll try harder. Look, the reason why is because, Charming. First of all, this problem didn't start yesterday. Science didn't become a reality yesterday. This has been going on for years. There was another president that would not join an international accord. Then it was the Kyoto Accords. I was mayor then, and I stood up in national leadership, joining with other mayors to say Climate change is not a separate issue. It must be the issue and the lens with which we view every issue. Nobody should get applause for rejoining the Paris Climate Accords. That right. is kindergarten. We have to go right. to far advanced right. and make sure that yeah. everything from our trade deals, everything from the billions of dollars we spend to foreign aid, everything must be sublimated to the challenge and the crisis that is existential, which is dealing with the climate threat. And yes, the majority of this problem is outside the United States. But the only way we're going to deal with this Thank is if you. The United States leads.
Thank you, Senator. Mayor de Blasio, your administration has come under fire after hundreds of children living in New York City public housing tested positive for elevated levels of lead. As you know, we're not far yeah, from Flint, Michigan, where residents are still dealing with not the consequences of having lead in their drinking water. How can you assure the people of Flint and across the nation that you are the right person to handle such a problem?
We have a huge problem, and it's decades old in New York, but here's what we've done about it. We've declared the eradication of all lead, literally ending the notion of lead poisoning once and for all as the goal of our administration, and we're doing something about it. Lead poisoning has gone down 90% since 2005, and we're going to literally bring it down to zero. Because we're going to go into every place, buildings, schools, public housing,
Why don't you start this in 2014?
And take out that lead, remediate that lead once and for all. And that needs to be done all over this country. Now, the federal government used to not take any responsibility for our public housing. For decades, they've been disinvesting in the public housing that was supposed to be a federal responsibility. That's part of why we have this lead crisis to begin with. But I'll tell you what you do when you're actually in charge of something. I'm in charge of the largest city in this nation. You do not accept the status quo. You fix it. And so we are going into every one of those apartments to make sure those children and those families are safe. And then we are going to eradicate that lead once and for all. And there should be a federal mandate to do the same for Flint, for Detroit, for every place in this country.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Secretary Castro, why are you the right candidate to solve this problem? Please respond.
Well, because people don't have to wonder what I would do. I've actually done it. I was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development when Flint had its water crisis. I went to Flint. We did what we could to help folks get water filters. And then we didn't stop there. We improved the standard of how we deal with elevated blood lead levels in children. A lot of Americans don't know that this is still a major problem out there. I was back in Flint about 6 weeks ago, and I released a plan to invest $50 billion so that we remove lead as a major public health threat. We need to do it, we can do it, and I will do it.
Thank you, Secretary Castro. Donald Trump won independents here in Michigan by 16 percentage points, which was critical to Donald Trump winning the state's 16 electoral votes. Now there is a big debate within the Democratic Party here and around the country about the best way the Democrats can win back Michigan. Vice President Biden, last night on this stage, Senator Elizabeth Warren said, quote, "We're not going to solve the urgent problems that we face with small ideas and spinelessness. We're going to solve them by being the Democratic Party of big structural change." What do you say to progressives who worry that your proposals are not ambitious enough to energize the progressive wing of your party, which you will need to beat Donald Trump?
Because we did it. I was asked to manage an $87 billion plan
billion.
To be spent in a total of 18 months that revived this state and many others because and it kept us out of a depression with 0.2% of waste or fraud. Secondly, I was part of the organization within our administration that pushed bailing General Motors out, saving tens of thousands of jobs here in this state. Number three,
he's getting,
I also was asked, as the mayor of Detroit can tell you, by the president of the United States to help Detroit get out of bankruptcy and get back on its feet. I spent better part of 2 years out here working to make sure that it did exactly that. We invested significantly in this city in transportation. Anyway,
he doesn't seem to be answering the question.
Made significant investments in this state. I expect in this city. I expect that's why the mayor endorsed me.
Thank you, Vice President
Biden. Endorse the senator.
Senator Gillibrand, what's your response
to the people of Michigan? I know exactly how I'd beat President Trump. I've already done it. I took a bus tour to talk about Trump's broken promises here in Michigan. He promised no bad trade deals. Not only did he not have bad trade deals, he started a trade war with China, and he just signed on to another bad trade agreement with NAFTA 2.0, a giveaway to drug companies in Mexico. I took the bus to Michigan, to Ohio, and to Pennsylvania, telling people that he has broken his promises to them. I lifted up their voices, I listened to their concerns, and I offered real solutions. And I've done this before. My first House district I ran in was a 2-to-1 Republican district. I won it twice, and I haven't lost an election since. So I can bring people together in red, purple, and blue areas.
Thank
but
you,
more
Senator
than
Gillibrand.
That, I can get things done.
Mr. Yang, in poll after poll, Democratic voters saying that having a nominee who can beat President Trump is more important to them than having a nominee who agrees with them on major issues. And right now, according to polls, they say the candidate who has the best chance of doing that, of beating President Trump, is Vice President Biden.
Sorry,
why are
Vice
they
President
wrong?
Biden, I'm about to F you.
Well, I'm building a coalition of disaffected Trump voters, independents, libertarians, and conservatives, as well as Democrats and progressives. I believe I'm the candidate best suited to beat Donald Trump.
They're
and as for how to win
about
Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania, the problem is that so many people feel like the economy has left them behind. What we have to do is we have to say, look, there's record high GDP and stock market prices. You know what else are at record highs? Suicides, drug overdoses, depression, anxiety. It's gotten so bad that American life expectancy has declined
this
for the last 3 years.
Some real talk here.
Yep.
And I like to talk about my wife, who's at home with our 2 boys right now, one of whom is autistic.
The solution, though,
what does her work count at in today's economy? Zero, and we know that's the opposite of the truth. We know that her work is among the most challenging and vital. The way we win this election is we redefine economic progress to include all the things that matter to the people in Michigan and all of us, like our own health, our well-being, our mental health, our clean air and clean water, how our kids are doing. If we change the measurements for the 21st century economy to revolve around our own well-being,
thank
then
you,
we will
Gang.
Win this election.
Wait,
Congresswoman Gabbard, your response.
That was a great answer. That was a very good answer.
It sounds like back in the
Donald
early
Trump
90s
won this
when
election
people were talking about recalculating
far too many
right.
people in this
GDP.
Country felt like right. they've been left behind by both political parties, by self-serving politicians on both sides who are more interested in partisan politics than they are in actually fighting for the people. I'm speaking the truth to people all across this country about the fact that people in Flint, Michigan are still being left behind, still being poisoned by the water in their system. Because every single month we are spending $4 billion on a continuing war in Afghanistan.
Okay. All right.
$4 billion every single month.
But that's actually not why.
Rather than ending that war, bringing our troops home and using those precious resources
into
serving the needs of the people here in this country.
How much are we
going to
spend on drones
in our communities like Frint? That's the kind of leadership that I'll bring.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Booker, your response?
I'm grateful, Jake. Look. This is one of those times where we're not staring at the truth and calling it out. And this is a case for the Democratic Party, the truth will set us free. We lost the state of Michigan because everybody from Republicans to Russians were targeting the suppression of African-American voters. We need to say that. If the African-American vote in this state had been like it was 4 years earlier, we would have won the state of Michigan.
Right.
We need to have a campaign that is ready for what's coming. An all-out assault, especially on the most valuable voter group in our, in fact, the highest performing voter group in our coalition, which is black women. And so I will be a person that tries to fight against voter suppression, that can activate and engage the kind of voters and coalitions that are going to win states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin.
Thank you, Senator Harris.
First of all, Donald Trump came in making a whole lot of promises to working people that he did not keep. He said he was going to help farmers. He said he was going to help auto workers. Farmers are now looking at bankruptcy, soybeans rotting in bills.
They're
auto
super
workers,
happy,
we
though,
expect
what I'm doing to brown
hundreds
people.
Hundreds of thousands will be out of jobs by the end of the year. Jerome Powell just dropped the interest rates, and he admitted why. Because of this so-called trade policy that this president has that has been nothing more than the Trump trade tax that has resulted in American families spending as much as $1.4 billion more a month on everything from shampoo to washing machines. He betrayed the American people. He betrayed American families. And he will lose this election.
Incidentally, this seems like it's going to be about 20 minutes earlier than the debate last night. 25,
30
minutes.
Try to beat people down instead of lift people up. And that's what we want
as
the president of the United States.
They haven't done that.
Thank you, Senator Harris. The debate is back right after this short break.
I'm sorry. I thought that was their I thought that was a wrap up.
Don't I know better than like to get that. My hopes up about something.
Yeah.
Like
that.
This part about trade, what a horrible failure of every single person on that stage to look at Joe Biden and say, Joe Biden, where do you stand on TPP?
Totally.
Because insofar as there is any relevance to the question of trade in the context of the primary, that is the only issue that I think the vast majority of people are familiar with and largely understand, which is you have these trade deals that weren't really trade deals. They were protection for corporate interests. And that trade deal that Barack Obama supported, and again, this would be very easy to tie Joe Biden to it because there's so many statements, and force him to come out and say, no, I reject that now.
That's another thing I don't because, like that the kid did. The other stuff was good, but not that.
But the point is that he needs to address that because not only is that problematic in terms of a policy perspective, but it is, I think, one of Joe Biden's, among some other ones, but it's the only sort of legitimate thing that Donald Trump could hit him on and would not be hypocritical, right? Like Donald Trump did end TPP. It was going to die anyways, I think. But he can justifiably take credit for it or can without really people going, that's outrageous. And he could hit Joe Biden over it. And one of the reasons of the multitude of reasons why Hillary Clinton lost was because Barack Obama insisted well through 2016 pushing the TPP, which kept dogging essentially Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, you know me.
Had Obama gotten rid of it in the spring or just at the beginning of 2016, taking it off the table as to Hillary Clinton's support, where she didn't have to sort of like split the difference and she ultimately came out against it, but she had to sort of like tactfully walk back how she had supported it.
I think a similar dynamic would have played out.
Well, it may or may not have.
Do you remember Colombia in 2007?
The Colombia trade deal.
Do you remember how that played out in her campaign?
I don't remember.
She flipped her position just like with TPP.
In 2017?
No, 2007 against Obama.
Oh, 2007.
She flipped her position at the last minute just like with TPP. And then what finally got Mark Penn fired was that he was lobbying for it on behalf of the Colombian government while he was her top advisor.
Right, right. But understand that if Obama kills it at the beginning of 2016, it can't come back. So she can go all in saying, of course I was against it. And so it's a lot cleaner of a situation. And so this is something that is going to dog Joe Biden. Maybe it's better that it doesn't drop until September, October, when Bernie Sanders drops that bomb on him. But I'm just surprised that nobody's going there yet. Now, part of it is also crew.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The crew that's up there.
These are free traders.
They may all be free
Cory
traders.
Cory Booker, Christian Gillibrand, Kamala Harris are all corporate free traders. Yeah, so I think there it is.
And just to be clear again, free trade does not mean free trade.
Right.
Secretary Castro, this was for you.
More trade law.
Domination.
Stocks are rising. Unemployment is near historic lows, including for Latinos and African Americans. You have all outlined plans, but you in particular that could end up raising taxes. How can you guarantee that won't hurt the economy?
Well, first of all, there are a lot of Americans right now that are hurting. Just go and ask the folks that just received notice that they're going to get laid off by General Motors, or ask the many folks who are sleeping on the streets in big cities and small towns across the United States, or ask fast food workers that I joined a couple of weeks ago that are working for minimum wage and can't provide for their families or pay the rent. So the idea that America is doing just fine is wrong. Not only that, this president always likes to take credit like he did this. We've now had about 105 straight months of positive job growth, the longest streak in American history. Over 80 months of that was due to President Barack Obama. Thank you, Barack Obama. Thank you, Barack Obama.
Yeah, you should get some of that administration shine yourself.
I believe that we need to invest in what will ensure that Americans can prosper in the years to come, making sure they had the knowledge and skills to compete in the 21st century economy, ensuring that they can afford the rent where they live and that they have health care so that they don't have to worry about going homeless because they can't afford a medical procedure.
Thank you, Secretary Castro. I want to turn now to a question about trade and for Congresswoman Gabbard. Many saw the Trans-Pacific Partnership issue as something that would be a critical tool to deal with the rise of China. You were against it. How would you ensure that the United States is able to remain competitive against China on the world stage?
By pushing for fair trade, not trade deals that give away the sovereignty of the American people and our country, that give away American jobs, and that threaten our environment. These are the three main issues with that massive trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I think the central one was the fact that it gave away our sovereignty to a panel of international corporations whose rulings would supersede any domestic law that we would pass, either a federal law or a state or a local law. This is extremely dangerous and goes against the very values that we have as a country. What to speak of the fact that it would have a negative impact on domestic jobs and that it lacked clear protections for our environment. These are the things that we have to keep at the forefront as we look to enact fair trade deals with other countries to make sure that we continue to be a thriving part of our global economy.
So to be clear, Congresswoman, she's specifically would not going after Biden. President Trump's tariff
she's thinking
on China in
Biden.
Place?
She's thinking I'm Biden's VP.
Because the approach that President Trump has taken has been extremely volatile without any clear strategic plan. And it has a ravaging and devastating effect on our domestic manufacturers, on our farmers who are already struggling and now failing to see the light of day because of the plan that Trump has taken.
Vice President Biden, would you rejoin the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, of course, the President Trump withdrew from? Please respond.
I'd renegotiate it. We make up 25% of the world's economy. In order, either China's going to write the rules of the world for the 21st century on trade, or we are. We have to join with the 40% of the world that we had with us, and this time make sure that there's no one sitting at that table doing the deal unless environmentalists are there and labor is there.
This is the lie that Clinton, Obama,
but this is, he's screwing himself.
Yes, I totally screwed up, but I'm underlying his lie here.
He just bit the hook.
They are going to write the rules of the road.
He just bit the hook.
Have the rest of the world join us to keep them in check from
abuse.
Mark my words.
Would you or would you not rejoin the TPP, yes or no?
I would not rejoin the TTP as it was initially put forward. I would insist that we renegotiate pieces of that with the Pacific nations that we had in South America and North America so that we could bring them together to hold China accountable for the rules of us setting the rules of the road as to how trade should be conducted. Otherwise, they're going to do exactly what they're doing,
right now,
fill
Joe.
The vacuum, and run the table.
You want to beat
Thank
Donald
you, sir.
Trump.
Mayor de Blasio, you also oppose the deal. Please respond.
Yeah, and I just want to ask this question of all the candidates, but particularly of Vice President Biden. The President Trump is trying to sell NAFTA 2.0. He's got a new name for it. It's just as dangerous as the old NAFTA. It's going to take away American jobs like the old NAFTA, like it did to Michigan. And we cannot have Democrats be party to a new NAFTA. So, Vice President, I believe you're the only person on the stage who voted for the original NAFTA. Are you ready to say here and now that you will oppose a new NAFTA?
De Blasio's
doing
it.
And that what you will believe in, which a lot of us hope for, is trade treaties that empower organized labor across the boundaries of the world and give working people power again, not just multinational corporations.
Yes. Your response?
Yeah, it's not a national thing.
Your response, sir?
That's right.
Yes.
That's it?
No, he said, would I insist that labor be engaged? The answer is yes.
I consider that a victory.
Oh, well, it's a bit too early.
Affection for me. We spent a lot of time.
No, this is.
You know what? We believe in redemption, Joe. We believe in redemption in this party.
Well, I tell you what, I hope you're part of it.
Okay, I want to ask a question of Senator Bennett now. Senator, CNN reached out to Michigan Democratic primary voters for their most pressing question. Ferris from Flint, Michigan has this question. Here in Detroit, our economy has seen firsthand how technology and automation can displace workers and create uncertainty around human job security. How would you balance these disruptions created by technology with the beneficial impact of technology on our economy?
Dana, this goes to the last question you asked as well, which is, how are we going to remain competitive? It's not just about trade, which we were talking about earlier. It's about whether we're going to invest in this country anymore. Since 2001, we have cut $5 trillion worth of taxes. Almost all of that has gone to the wealthiest people in America. We have made the income inequality worse, not better, through the policies of the federal government. We've spent $5.6 trillion in the Middle East. That's $12 or $13 trillion that, from the point of view of driving the economy in Michigan or
this
anywhere else
these,
in America,
like,
we might as well just have
office.
Lit that money on fire. We've got to stop.
Sounds like John C. Reilly.
But and we
I mean,
need
the
to
things
invest
he's saying
in, America
in this instance
again.
Are said by anybody else would be
spent,
impressive.
That I just described, we could have fixed every road and bridge in this country. We could have fixed every airport that needs to be fixed. We could have fixed not just Flint, but
it
every water system
more,
in this
progressive
country.
Than he
we could have made Social Security solvent for my children.
Thank you, Senator.
But we did none of it because of self-serving politicians in Washington, D.C., who voted for deals that were good for them,
Senator Bennett,
but
thank
not
you
for
very
Michigan
much.
Or the American
Your time is up, sir. Mr. Yang.
Automation.
Mr. Yang, women.
Did anybody say that?
On average, earn 80 cents, about 80 cents, for every dollar earned by men. Senator Harris wants to find companies that don't close their gender pay gaps. As an entrepreneur, do
she
you
went.
Think a stiff fine will change how companies pay their female employees?
I have seen firsthand the inequities in the business world where women are concerned, particularly in startups and entrepreneurship. We have to do more at every step. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, the obstacles start not just at home, but then when you seek a mentor or an investor, often they don't look like you, and they might not think your idea is the right one. In order to give women a leg up, what we have to do is we have to think about women in every situation, including the ones who are in exploitative and abusive jobs and relationships around the country. I'm talking about the waitress who's getting harassed by her boss at the diner, who might have a business idea, but right now is stuck where she is. What we have to do is we have to give women the economic freedom to be able to improve their own situations and start businesses. And the best way to do this is by putting a dividend of $1,000 a month into their hands. It would be a game changer for women around the country because we know that women do more of the unrecognized, uncompensated work in our society. It will not change unless we change it. And I say that's just what we do.
Senator Harris, your response.
I think that's support of my proposal, which is this. Since 1963, when we passed the Equal Pay Act, we have been talking about the fact women are not paid equally for equal work. Fast forward to the year of our Lord, 2019, and women are paid 80 cents on the dollar, black women 61 cents, Native American women 58 cents, Latinas 53 cents. I'm done with the conversation. So, yes, I am proposing, in order to deal with this, one, I'm going to require corporations to post on their website whether they are paying women equally for equal work. Two, they will be fined for every 1% differential between what they are paying men and women. They will be fined 1% of their previous year's profits. That'll get everybody's attention.
Thank you, Senator. Senator
Time for action.
Senator Gillibrand, what's your response? Will fining companies help solve the problem?
I think we have to have a broader conversation about whether we value women and whether we want to make sure women have every opportunity in the workplace. And I want to address Vice President
How
Biden
many
directly.
Conversations?
When the Senate was debating middle-class affordability for child care, he wrote an op-ed. He voted against it, the only vote. But what he wrote an op-ed was that he believed that women working outside the home would, quote, create the deterioration of family.
Whoa.
He also said that women who were working outside the home were, quote, avoiding responsibility. And I just need to understand, as a woman who's worked my entire career as the primary wage earner, as the primary caregiver. In fact, my second son, Henry, is here. And I had him when I was a member of Congress. So under Vice President Biden's analysis, am I serving in Congress resulting in the deterioration of the family because I had access to quality, affordable daycare?
So long
I just
ago
want to know
I
what he meant
that.
When he said
God,
that.
God, women
She's
have begun.
A
was a long time ago, and here's what it was about.
Yeah.
It would have given people making today $100,000 a year a tax break for child care. I did not want that. I wanted the child care to go to people making less than $100,000. And that's what it was
right.
about.
Means test
As
bullshit.
A single father who, in fact, raised three children, for 5 years by myself, I have some idea what it costs. I support making sure that every single solitary person needing child care get an $8,000 tax credit
hit
now.
Him hard
that would
for
put 700,000 women back
the
to
quotes,
work, increase the GDP
quotes.
By almost 0.8%. Yeah, it's the right thing to do if we can
don't hide
tax
behind
base
the numbers.
To corporations for these things.
Make them address
why can't
the quotes.
We do it this way?
But Mr. Vice President, you didn't answer my question. What did you mean when you said when a woman works outside the home, it's resulting in, quote, the deterioration of family?
No,
and that we are avoiding. These are quotes. It was the title of the op-ed. No. And that just causes concern for me because we know America's women are working. 4 out of 10 moms have to work. They are the primary or
make
sole wage earners. They actually have to put food
make
on the table. 8 out of 10 moms are working today. Most women have to work to provide for their kids. Many women want to be working
up.
To provide for their communities
thank you,
and to
Senator,
help people.
Let
so
the Vice President
either
respond.
You don't
time's
pay
up
them today,
definitely be an
or what did you mean when you said it
in
then?
In the very beginning, my deceased wife worked, but we had children. My present wife has worked all the way through raising our children. The fact of the matter is the situation is one that I don't know what's happened. I wrote the Violence Against Women Act, Lilly Ledbetter. I was deeply involved in making sure there the equal pay amendments. I was deeply involved
quotes,
in all these
Joe.
Things. I came up with the It's On Us proposal to see to it that women were treated more decently
he's
on college
it.
Campuses. You came to Syracuse University with me and said it was wonderful. I'm passionate about the concern
you're
making
at my
sure
wedding.
Women are treated equally. I don't know what's happened except that you're now running for president.
So I understand. Mr. Vice President, I respect you deeply. But those words
repeat the quotes.
Very specific. You said women working outside the home would lead to the deterioration of family. My grandmother worked outside the home.
So
my mother worked outside the home. And
thank you, Senator Gillard.
And that's why you're such a pain in the ass.
Senator Harris.
Either
he half
no
families.
Longer believes it. I mean, I just think he
needs to. You could use
it.
A nice
thank
comment back.
I never believed
well,
it.
Well, I just, you, listen, I mean, talk about now running for president and you change your position
yeah.
on the Hyde Amendment, Vice President, where you
finally.
Made a decision for years to withhold
finally,
resources
someone talks about
to
abortion.
Poor women to have access to reproductive
right.
health care, and including women who were the victims of rape and incest. Do you now say that you have evolved and you regret that? Because you've only, since you've been running for president this time, said that you had you in some way would take that back or you didn't agree with the decision that you made over many, many years. And this directly impacted so many women in our country. And I personally prosecuted rape cases and child molestation cases. And the experience that those women have,
I
those
defended.
Children have,
oh.
and that they would then be denied
thank
the
you,
resources,
Senator. Let the Vice President respond,
I think is
oh. forgive
unacceptable.
Me. Forgive me, I'm sorry.
He's not the Vice
fact
President.
Is that the Senator knows that's not my position. Everybody on this stage has been in the Congress, and the Senate or House has voted for the Hyde Amendment at some point. The Hyde Amendment in the past was available because there
not
was
Bernie.
Other access for those kinds of services provided privately. But once
that
I wrote
is,
the legislation making
BS.
Sure that every single
that's
woman
not true.
Would, in fact, be have an opportunity to have health care paid for by the federal government, everyone, that could no longer stand. I support a woman's right to choose. I support it's a constitutional right. I've supported it. I will continue to support it. And I will, in fact, move as president to see to that the Congress legislates that is the law
thank
as
you.
Well.
Thank
why
you,
did
Mr.
it
Vice
take
President
you so
Governor
long
Inslee
to change your position on the Hyde Amendment? Why did it take so long until you were running for president to change your position on the Hyde Amendment?
Because there was not full federal funding for all reproductive services prior to this point.
Okay. What?
Thank you.
That's
Governor
just,
Inslee, your response?
He's a liar.
I would suggest that we need to broaden our discussion. I would suggest we need to think about a bigger scandal in America, which is that in professions and careers where women have been more than the majority, they have been almost always underpaid. And that is why this year I'm proud to be the governor who won the largest pay increase for our educators in the United States. And I believe that that is long, long overdue. I think it is true for nursing staff as well. And I'm glad that we've now passed
thank
new
you.
Measures. And I'm glad that we've increased our union membership 10%
thank
so
you,
unions can
thank
stand
you, Governor.
Up.
I want
also
to turn to foreign policy.
Better job than
if
most
we can.
Talking
Senator Booker,
about
there are
units.
About 14,000 U.S. service members in Afghanistan right now. If elected, will they still be in Afghanistan by the end of your first year in office?
Well, first of all, I want to say very clearly that I will not do foreign policy
by tweet, as Donald Trump seems to do all the time.
Military
talk about the guy that literally tweets out that we're pulling our troops out before his generals even know about it is creating a dangerous situation for our troops in places like Afghanistan. And so I will bring our troops
vote for
home. I will bring them
because
home as quickly
Donald Trump's
as
tweets are
possible.
Bad.
This is the same as Trump saying, "Why would I tell you my secret plan to like end the wars?"
Make sure we do it
because
it
let people know how I'm going
to
do it.
We do it safely to not create a vacuum that's ultimately going to destabilize the Middle East and perhaps create the environment for terrorism and for extremism to threaten our nation.
Congresswoman Gabbard, you're the only veteran on the stage. Please respond.
Do your thing.
This is real in a way that's very difficult to convey in words. I was deployed to Iraq in 2005 during the height of the war, where I served in a field medical unit where every single day I saw the high cost of war. Just this past week, two more of our soldiers were killed in Afghanistan. My cousin is deployed to Afghanistan right now. Nearly 300 of our Hawaii National Guard soldiers are deployed to Afghanistan. 14,000 service members are deployed there. This is not about arbitrary deadlines. This is about leadership, the leadership I will bring to do the right thing, to bring our troops home within the first year in office, because they shouldn't have been there this long. For too long, we've had leaders who have been arbitrating foreign policy from ivory towers in Washington without any idea about the cost and the consequence, the toll that it takes on our service members, on their families. We have to do the right thing, end these wasteful regime change wars, and bring our troops home.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Mr. Yang, Iran has now breached the terms of the 2015 nuclear deal after President Trump withdrew the U.S. from the deal.
How does he make this about UBI?
And that puts Iran closer to building a nuclear weapon, the ability to do so at the very least.
Ayatollah a UBI.
You said if Iran violates the agreement, the U.S. would need to respond, quote, very strongly. So how would a President Yang respond right now?
I would move to de-escalate tensions in Iran because they're responding to the fact that we pulled out of this agreement. And it wasn't just us in Iran. There were many other world powers that were part of that multilateral agreement. We'd have to try and re-enter that agreement, renegotiate the timelines, because the timelines now don't make as much sense. But I've signed a pledge to end the forever wars. Right now, our strength abroad reflects our strength at home. What's happened, really? We've fallen apart at home, so we elected Donald Trump. And now we have this erratic and unpredictable relationship with even our longstanding partners and allies. What we have to do is we have to start investing those resources to solve the problems right here at home. We've spent trillions of dollars and lost thousands of American lives in conflicts that had unclear benefits. We've been in a constant state of war for 18 years. This is not what the American people want. I would bring the troops home. I would de-escalate
tensions
with Iran, and I would start investing our resources
in our own communities. People aware of the fact that we killed hundreds of thousands of civilians.
Well, I think
like, how is
that
considered a liability by every person on that stage? We are not reminded of the fact that our tax dollars killed hundreds of thousands of people.
We have to determine whether a potential president has adequate judgment in these decisions. I was only one of two members on this panel today who were called to make a judgment about the Iraq War. I was a relatively new member of Congress, and I made the right judgment because it was obvious to me that George Bush was fanning the flames of war. Now we face similar situations where we recognize we have a president who'd be willing to beat the drums of war. We need a president who can stand up against the drums of war and make rational decisions. That was the vote, and I believe
Thank you, Governor. Vice President Biden, he was obviously suggesting that you made the wrong decision and had bad judgment when you voted to go to war in Iraq as a U.S. senator.
I did make a bad judgment, trusting the president, saying he was only doing this to get inspectors in and get the U.N. to agree to put inspectors in. The moment shock and awe started, from that moment, I was opposed to the effort, and I was outspoken as much as anyone at all in the Congress and administration.
Secondly, I
was asked by the president in the first meeting we had on Iraq. He turned and said, Joe, get our combat troops out in front of the entire national security team. And one of the proudest moments of my life was to stand there in Afua Palace and tell everyone that we're coming, all our combat troops are coming home. I opposed surge in Afghanistan. This long overdue, we should have not, in fact, gone into Afghanistan.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would like to bring in the person on the stage who served in Iraq, Congresswoman Gabbard, your response to what Vice President Biden just said.
We were all lied to. This is the betrayal. This is the betrayal to the American people, to me, to my fellow service members. We were all lied to, told that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction,
you know,
was working with Al-Qaeda, and that this posed a threat.
I don't blame
to the American
her as
people.
Being a service person.
So I enlisted
for,
after 9/11
for,
to protect
for not knowing
our country,
the truth.
To go
but Joe Biden,
after those
give me an effing break.
On that
absolutely.
Fateful day, who took the lives of
if I could
thousands
sit there
of
with
Americans.
A three-ring binder
the problem
in a studio
is that this current president
in New Jersey and know this was
is
bullshit.
Continuing to betray us.
Joe Biden certainly had
we're
access
supposed
to,
be going after Al-Qaeda,
to the publicly available information
now,
that said this
not gone after Al-Qaeda, who is
certainly
stronger
Bernie
today
Sanders
than they were in 9/11.
Jay Inslee did too.
Our president is supporting Al-Qaeda.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
Congressman,
no.
Let's
talk
about
Iran.
Thank you, please.
We didn't talk about Iran.
Please.
We're on a march to war in Iran right now, and we blew
please,
by
Mayor,
it.
Please, Mayor, the rules, please follow the
I
rules.
The rules, the rules.
I think Iran is more important than the rules, Donald.
We're going on, and we're going to talk about another subject. Mayor, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let's talk about
pathetic.
Now the former special counsel Robert Mueller's appearance in front of Congress
this
last week.
This format is
Iran
atrocity.
Could be charged with a crime after leaving
television
office.
Television debates are poison.
Yes.
Garbage.
Senator Harris. You have criticized President Trump for interfering with the Justice Department, and just last month you said if you were elected president, your Justice Department would, quote, have no choice and should go forward with the obstruction of justice charges against former President Trump. Why is it okay for you to advocate for the Justice Department to prosecute somebody, but President Trump, not him?
Well, I would never direct the Department of Justice to do whatever it believes it should do. But look, we all watched his testimony. I read the report. There are 10 clear incidents of obstruction of justice by this president, and he needs to be held accountable. I've seen people go to prison for far less.
I believe that.
And the reality of it is that we have a
half
person in the White House
I
right
did
now
half of them myself.
Who has been shielded by a memo in the United States Department of Justice that says a sitting president cannot be indicted. I believe the American people are right to say there should be consequence and accountability for everyone, and no one is above the law, including the president of the United States.
Senator Booker, your response?
My response is exactly that. I've read the report. I've read the redacted versions of the report. We have something that is astonishing going on in the United States of America. We have a president that is not acting like the leader of the free world.
Say impeach.
He's acting like an authoritarian against the actual Constitution that he swore an oath to uphold. And so this is a difference with a lot of us on this debate stage. I believe that we in the United States Congress should start impeachment proceedings immediately. And I'll tell you this.
Thank you, Corey.
Debbie Stabenow now has joined my call for starting impeachment proceedings because he is now stonewalling Congress, not allowing or subjecting themselves to the checks and balances. We swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. The politics of this be damned. When we look back in history at what happened when a president of the United States started acting more like an authoritarian leader than the leader of the free world, the question is what will we have done? And I believe the Congress should do its job.
Senator Booker, thank you very much. Secretary Castro, what's your response?
Well, I agree. I was the first of the candidates to call on Congress to begin impeachment proceedings. There are 10 different instances that Robert Mueller has pointed out where this president either obstructed justice or attempted to obstruct justice. And I believe that they should go forward with impeachment proceedings. As to the question of what my Department of Justice would do, I agree with those who say that a president should not direct an attorney general specifically to prosecute or not prosecute. However, I believe that the evidence is plain and clear, and that if it gets that far, that you're likely to see a prosecution of Donald Trump.
Thank you, Secretary. Mayor de Blasio, I'm going to bring you in. What's your response?
I think it's obvious at this point in our history that the president has committed the crimes worthy of impeachment. But I want to caution my fellow Democrats, while we move in every way we can for impeachment, we have to remember at the same time, the American people are out there looking for us to do something for them in their lives.
Right.
And what they see when they turn on the TV or go online is just talk about impeachment. We need
you know
more
what?
Talk
I bet
about working
to
people
his kids.
And their lives.
His kids
for
are
example,
probably
yeah, probably.
Are we really ready? And I ask people
right.
on this stage this question. Are we ready to make sure that the wealthy pay their fair share in taxes?
This is the first time the words impeachment have come up in 6 hours of Democrat.
No, the way he's talking about not getting lost.
So yeah, move for impeachment,
but don't
forget to do the people's business.
I just think people are slippery about who is overemphasizing
it. That's what Nancy Pelosi's been doing, and they're not, and nobody cares.
Mayor, thank you very much. Senator Bennett, how do you respond?
They passed $15 minimum wage the other day.
As we go forward here, we need to recognize a very practical reality,
which is that we are 4 months away. We've got the August.
Should have had the balls to go back to
then
Iran,
we are
though.
4 months
that's what
away
he
from
done.
The Iowa
that's
caucus.
Exactly what
and I just want to make sure whatever we do doesn't end up with an acquittal by Mitch McConnell in the Senate, which
Why?
It surely would. And then President Trump would be running saying that he had been acquitted by the United States Congress. I believe we have a moral obligation to beat Donald Trump. He has to be a single
Michael Bennett
term
doesn't
president,
want to vote for impeachment. That's the problem.
That plays into his hands. We were talking earlier about climate up here. It's so important. Donald Trump should be the last climate denier that's ever in the White House.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much, Secretary Castro. Please respond.
But we need to be smart about how we're running, or we're going to give him a second
term.
We can't do it.
Let me first say that I really do believe that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. All of us have a vision
Someone
for the future of the
already.
Country that we're articulating to the American people. We're going to continue to do that. We have an election coming up. At the same time, Senator,
I wonder how many of these people actually
you know, I think
them.
That too many folks in the Senate and
or
in the Congress have been spooked by 1998. I believe that the times are different. And in fact, I think that folks are making a mistake by not pursuing impeachment. The Mueller report clearly details that he deserves it. And what's going to happen in the fall of next year of 2020, if they don't impeach him, is he's going to say, You see, the Democrats didn't go after me on impeachment. And you know why? Because I didn't do anything wrong. These folks that always investigate me, they're always trying to go after me. When it came down to it, they didn't go after me there because I didn't do anything wrong.
Totally exaggerated.
Conversely, if Mitch McConnell
Quote
is the one
Robert
that lets
Mueller.
Him off the hook, we're going to be able to say,
Secretary,
well, sure, they impeached
Secretary
him in the House,
Castro.
But his friend
Thank
Mitch
you.
McConnell, Moscow
Thank
Mitch,
you,
let him off the hook.
Senator Bennett.
Moscow oh, Mitch. Yeah. Moscow Mitch.
Don't you keep your name out of my, my name out of your fucking
that.
Mouth.
You said it better than I did. We have to walk and chew gum at the same time. It is incredibly unusual for members of Congress to be able to do that. And I'm glad that Secretary Castro
has just adorned this cliche a little bit more.
I was going to say, it's your brother that's giving you that good feeling about the Congress. That's what we should do.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, gentlemen. The debate continues right after this.
Hey.
Wow.
This is such a depressing thing. Oh, my God.
I got to say, maybe it's just yesterday's debate was much more fun, and Bernie and Warren look so much better in relief.
So much better, it's insane.
I can't wait till I go up against Biden and talk about Hunter.
And Hunter had a lot of problems that maybe we don't want to talk about. But the position on TPP was terrible. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. And Hunter should be ashamed of himself.
Look, Crazy Joe. Crazy Joe. And what happens? What does Donald Trump do when Crazy Joe stammers like that?
Brutal. You know, Joe.
Right, Joe?
Hey,
right,
Joe. Need a commercial break, Joe?
Joe, maybe Joe needs a rest. Maybe Joe needs a break. I don't know. I'm still debating. Maybe he's tired.
Joe, do you want to take a break? Should we take a break? Should we take a break for Joe?
Yeah. He was Obama's friend, but Obama didn't endorse him in the primary.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Why did it
Very
take strange. Obama so
I thought
long
he was
to
your
endorse
friend.
Him? That kind of friend. I don't know, Joe. Maybe he doesn't
friend.
Like you. Maybe he
I don't
knows
know.
Something.
Maybe Obama
like.
Likes me better.
Maybe he knows that you were weak.
Maybe he knows.
Maybe he knows that it should have been Cory Booker.
I had many disagreements.
Cory Booker's very chipper.
Why did the Democrats nominate Cory Booker, one of our great African Americans? I thought it was so insulting.
Instead of this guy who
Cory Booker might vote for me.
I think Cory Booker, I was talking to Cory on the phone.
They call him TPP or is it TTP Joe?
Yeah, TTP Joe.
TPP Joe.
TPP Joe.
Is it TTP or TTPP?
I think you're confusing. Believe it or not, I hate both of them, and that's why I fought for you. This guy, he's part of the corporate elite with his son, Hunter.
The extra T stands for terrible.
Joe had to take the train a lot. That's why he didn't get the
Joe
girls.
Had to take the train.
That's why I didn't get the girls.
Is it Hunter or is it Labia?
Yep, there you go.
Hunter, even when he wasn't lobbying, had an opportunity to
Bad
take Joe's
China.
Other son's wife.
China?
For all
it was
the,
a very tough deal.
For all the deep-pocketed Democratic donors that listen to the show, if you continue supporting Joe Biden, you're going to deliver us Trump. I mean,
no, you really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that a risk you're willing to take? Probably for some of them.
Yeah.
There are worse things than a Trump presidency for the ruling class.
I honestly think that to the extent that there are deep donors for Joe Biden, they are donating to one or two other people. Like I think from an ideological perspective, I would imagine anyone who is donating to Joe Biden, from an ideological perspective, can find one or two other candidates who are, viable.
Tell Hunter about
that they're okay with. That it's this perception that Biden can beat Trump, and I think it just doesn't take into account the problem with
Biden
with supporting someone based upon what you presume other people will think,
right?
And because then everybody looks around saying, okay, who's going to go out and knock on the doors?
Right.
They're just looking around. Nobody's going, who's coming with me to knock on the doors?
Well, that's the frustrating thing about these questions, too, is because they're pretty much all predicated on, is like, there's this impression that this policy means this. And does it really mean that? I don't know. Like the, I forgot my example, but we're back.
Here. Presidential debate. It is time now.
I feel you.
For closing statements, you will each receive 1 minute. Mayor de Blasio, let's begin with you.
Thank you. For the last 3 years, we've watched Donald Trump pit working people against each other, black versus white, citizen versus immigrant. And why? So that the wealthy and the powerful he represents can hold the American dream hostage from everyone else. We can't let them get away with it. If we're going to beat Donald Trump, this has to be a party that stands for something. This has to be the party of labor unions. This has to be the party of universal health care. This has to be the party that's not afraid to say out loud, we're going to tax the hell out of the wealthy. And when we do that, Donald Trump, right on cue, will call us socialists. Well, here's what I'll say to him. Donald, you're the real socialist. The problem is, socialism for the rich.
That's my line. Now we have a second person stealing my shtick.
We don't have to take it anymore. We can fight back.
If you know, at least when Warren steals my shit, she puts her own spin on it.
We can stand up to the wealthy. Then go to taxthehell.com and join us so we can build a country
that is good.
That puts working people first.
Bill de Blasio, go on Chapo.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What I want to say to all of you tonight is we have been here before as a country. We have faced challenges that we've actually even forget, some of us tonight, how hard the people fought, how hard they worked, how hard they organized, the votes they had to take, the people they had to get to the polls.
This dude is total
ASMR. To make
ASMR.
This country more democratic, more fair, and more free. And now we have a person in the White House who has no appreciation of that history, who doesn't believe in the rule of
that
law,
who
doesn't
Lincoln
believe in the independence of the judiciary, who doesn't believe that climate change is real. I think that we have an incredible opportunity in front of us, all of us, to come together just as our parents and grandparents did before them and face challenges even harder than the ones that we face. But the only way we're going to be able to do it is to put the divisive politics of Donald Trump behind us.
How do we get rid of slavery?
And the divisive politics of the last 10 years behind us. We need to come together, united
Four
against
score
the
and seven years
Washington,
ago, we put the divisive politics behind us.
Make Donald Trump a one-term president and begin to govern this country again for our kids and
one
our
country,
grandkids
slave
who
owners,
cannot do it
another.
For themselves. We
non-slave
have to do it for them. Please join
at the
me
end,
at michaelbennett.com. Thanks for being here tonight.
Can I get a supercut of his parts for when I'm trying to go to sleep later?
No kidding.
For decades, we have kicked the can down the road on climate change. And now under Donald Trump, we face a looming catastrophe. But it is not too late. We have one last chance. And when you have one chance in life, you take it. Think about this. Literally, the survival of humanity on this planet, in civilization as we know it, is in the hands of the next president. And we have to have a leader who will do what is necessary to save us. And that includes making this the top priority of the next presidency. And I alone on this panel am making a commitment
that this will be the organizing principle of my administration, not the first day, but every day. And if you share my view of the urgency of this matter, I hope you'll join me. Because we are up against powerful special fossil fuel interests, and it is time to stand up on our legs and confront the fossil fuel special interests. Because that is our salvation, what it depends upon. So I hope you will consider going to jayinsley.com and joining this effort. And I will close with this. I am confident.
It used to be hotlines.
And optimistic tonight, even in the face of this difficulty. Because I know we can build a clean energy economy. I know we can save our children and our grandchildren. I know that we can defeat climate change. And we will defeat Donald Trump. This is our moral responsibility, and we will fulfill it. Thank you very much.
Senator Gillibrand.
Solid dude, Jayinsley.
Fine.
Totally Donald solid. Trump has really torn apart the moral fabric of this country.
Oh, really?
Dividing us on every racial line, every religious line, every socioeconomic line he can find. I'm running for president. Because I want to help people. And I actually have the experience and the ability to do that. I've brought Congress together and actually made a difference in people's lives. I also know how to beat Donald Trump.
No, you don't.
He has broken his promises to the American people. I've taken
what
this
are you
fight directly
about?
To his backyard.
I put the kids
in
prison,
Ohio,
every promise.
And
I kidnapped children.
All the places
I kept
in this
my
country.
Promise.
I will
now you
fight
keep
for
your
distance.
Family.
I kept promises I didn't even make.
It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter who you love. Because that's my responsibility. And I've done this before. I started out in a 2-to-1 Republican district. I won it twice.
By voting
Never
for things like anti-immigration bills.
And I not only bring people
She's
together
like a less ballsy version of Hillary.
Also legislatively, I get things done. So we need a president.
Don't try
who's
to get in my good graces, Jamie. Fuck you.
Big fights.
You voted for Jill
there
Stein
no
with your little socialist
we don't
nonsense.
Need a liberal
don't
or progressive
keep my name
with big
out of your
ideas.
Mouth.
No regrets.
Or we don't need a moderate who can win back Trump Obama voters. You need someone who can do both. And that's who I am. Please go to KirstenGillibrand.com so I can make the
Everybody
next
Everybody last night watched the debate and said, how come they're not pushing a.
Thank you. No, Donald Trump and warmongering politicians in Washington have failed us. They continue to escalate tensions with other nuclear-armed countries like Russia and China and North Korea, starting a new Cold War, pushing us closer and closer to the brink of nuclear catastrophe. Now, as we stand here tonight, there are thousands of nuclear missiles pointed at us. And if we were to get an attack right here tonight, we would have 30 minutes before we were hit.
We got
and
that.
You would receive an alert like the one we received in Hawaii last year that would say, incoming missile, seek immediate shelter.
That was nuts.
This
oh, yeah,
is not a drill.
That?
Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And you would see, as we did, as my loved ones in Hawaii did, there is no shelter. This is the warmonger's hoax. There is no shelter. It's all a lie. As president, I will end this insanity because it doesn't have to be this way. I will end these wasteful regime change wars, work to end this new Cold War through the use of diplomacy to de-escalate these tensions and take the trillions of dollars that we've been wasting on these wars and on these weapons and redirect those resources into serving the needs of our people right here at home. Things like health care for all, making sure everyone in this country has clean water to drink and clean air to breathe, investing in education, investing in our infrastructure. The needs are great. As your president, I will put your interests above all else.
Secretary Castro.
Tulsi Gabbard got
first of all,
she could have been
say,
more pointed on
thank
nukes,
you
but
to you,
I can't
Gary,
do
Dana, and Don, and to everybody here and to those watching. You know, this election is all about what kind of nation we're going to become. You and I, we stand on the shoulders of folks who have made beds and made sacrifices, people that fought in wars and fought discrimination, folks that picked crops and stood in picket lines, and they helped build the wonderful nation that we live in today. Donald Trump has not been bashful in his cruelty. And I'm not going to be bashful in my common sense and compassion.
I believe that we need leadership that understands that we need to move forward as one nation with one destiny. And our destiny in the years to come is to be the smartest, the healthiest, the fairest, and the most prosperous nation on earth. If you want to help me build that America for the future, I hope you'll go to juliancastro.com.
And plug the website.
I am disappointed he didn't say
Julian.
We'll say together, adios to Donald Trump.
There you go.
There you go. Mr. Yang.
You know what the talking heads couldn't stop talking about after the last debate? It's not the fact that I'm somehow number four on the stage in national polling. It was the fact that I wasn't wearing a tie. Instead of talking about automation in our future, including the fact that we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs, hundreds of thousands right here in Michigan, we're up here with makeup on our faces and our rehearsed attack lines, playing roles in this reality TV show.
This world is bullshit.
It's one reason why we elected a reality TV star as our president.
He's having his Fiona Apple moment.
We could be in aliens inside a finger.
We need to be laser-focused on solving the real challenges of today.
He's going to gain
like
2 points from this.
The most common jobs in America may not exist in a decade.
He's doing
or
great.
That most Americans cannot pay their bills. My flagship proposal, the Freedom Dividend, would put $1,000 a month into the hands of every American adult, be a game-changer for millions of American families. If you care more about your family and your kids than my neckwear, enter your zip code at yang2020.com and see what $1,000 a month would mean to your community. I have done the math. It's not left. It's not right. It's forward. Oh,
shut up.
That's how we're going to beat Donald Trump in 2020.
We were so close to joining the Yang gang just now.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is why you can't give Yang or Williamson or any of these clowns.
No, give Williamson love.
They're hosting us today, and one of the reasons I respect this city is because it has the kind of defiant love that I find in many American cities, including the city of Newark. And Detroit is turning around, and Newark is turning around because we let no one divide us, no one demean or degrade us or underestimate our worth. We pulled together and fought for common purpose and common cause. That's the history of this city. My mom is sitting there who was born in the city of Detroit, born to a guy that was a UAW worker, my grandfather, who pulled his family out of poverty in the Depression. My grandmother joined him. She was really entrepreneurial, opened a pool hall and a laundromat right here in this city. That is the American dream. And so many of us have stories
like
that.
Oh, my God, Corey.
But the dream of this country is under threat right now. Well, my mom's generation... 95% of baby boomers did better than their parents. It's now just a coin toss for millennials. We have a real crisis in our country, and the crisis is Donald Trump, but not only Donald Trump. I have a frustration that sometimes people are saying the only thing they want is to beat Donald Trump. Well, that is the floor and not the ceiling. The way we beat Donald Trump is not just focusing on him. He wants to take all the oxygen
out
of the room.
Everyone knows that.
It's when we start focusing on each other and understanding that our common bonds and our common purpose to address our common pain is what has saved us before. It's what's going to save us now. That is the kind of leader that I am going to be as president of the United States, not just uniting the Democratic Party, but making sure that we put more indivisible back into this one nation under God. And if you believe like I do, please go to CoryBooker.com and join the mission.
Website.
Senator Harris.
So in my background as Attorney General of California,
I remember
took on
one time putting a mother in jail. She said she had diabetes. I said,
many of
your
whom
kids
lost
in
their homes and will
this
never
is
be able
not
to buy
the
another.
Format for her.
I've
she,
taken
she
on
just
the for-profit colleges
she's insincere.
Who preyed on students.
It's not so much that. I mean,
I've prayed on
they're all insincure on some level.
That have preyed on women and children.
Sincere. How dare you?
But, and I will tell you, we have a predator living in the White House.
There is a.
And I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump has predatory nature and predatory instincts.
She's got a very.
And the
like,
thing about predators
it, she's,
is
she's
this.
Prosecutorial insofar as it sounds
nature,
like she's sort of
they
like
prey on
not
they perceive
focused
to be weak.
And sort of like pouncing.
They prey on people
she's
they
just not
to be vulnerable.
She's a better senator.
They yeah. prey
she's
on people
put
who are
Trump
in need
in
of
jail.
Help, often desperate for help. And predators are cowards. What we need is someone who is going to be on
that debate stage with Donald Trump
and defeat him by being able to prosecute the case against 4 more years. And let me tell you, we've got a long rap sheet.
Prosecute the case against the case? 4 more years.
Maybe you could have prosecuted the case against me, okay?
I'm Treasury Secretary, okay?
So you kind of missed the ball on that one.
Separated children from their parents. We have someone who passed a so-called trade policy that was trade policy by tweet and has resulted in attacks on American families.
That doesn't fucking
so we
matter.
Must defeat him and then, turning the page, write the next chapter for our country. And that has to be written in a way that recognizes what wakes people up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that is my agenda, the 3 a.m. agenda that is focused on getting folks the jobs they need, getting their children the education they need, making sure
getting
they have the health care they need and the future they deserve. So please join me
at
KamalaHarris.org.
So that people might actually prosecute Steve Mnuchin for his crimes. Biden. I have to shut that down.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Mayor, for Detroit hosting this. Look, I've said it many times, and I think everyone agrees with this. We're in a battle for the soul of America. This is the most consequential election any one of you, no matter how old or young you are, has ever, ever participated in. 4 more years of Donald Trump will go down as an aberration. Hard to overcome the damage he's done, but we can overcome it.
What?
8 more years of Donald Trump will change America in a fundamental way.
He missed a more.
America we know will
no longer
exist.
No, he said 4 years.
Everybody knows who Donald Trump is.
He should have said 4 years. He said not 4 more. And he said 8 more.
We choose science over fiction.
Now,
maybe you think Trump's going to change his rules.
If Bernie had made that mistake, it would be one day's worth of news. But they're
going to
ignore that.
We act together, do anything. This is the United States of America. We've acted together.
Okay,
we have never been unable to overcome whatever the problem was. If you agree with me,
capitalism.
Go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight.
Wait, what?
Thank you very much.
I don't know what that means.
Thank you so much.
Did he just screw up his?
He screwed up his year.
30.
Anderson Cooper.
He screwed up his century.
Oh, did he say?
Joe Biden's been a long game.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm actually the
old. We gotta buy that right now. What was it? Well, tell me what it was.
Night two.
Joe 30-30. He
Detroit
thinks he's
going to
live
again,
a really long time.
Wanting to know what separates Democrats from
all right, folks,
Trump
hang on. I need to buy this.
Certainly got plenty of both tonight. And plenty
it's
going to
be a race.
Again,
there's a lot of
sharp disagreements.
It's not available.
A number of subjects. We certainly
did somebody already buy
more
it? God
engaged,
it.
More combative Joe Biden at times, especially toward
gotta be
California
quick.
Senator
I'm
Kamala
sorry,
Harris.
But
it did begin with a kind of attempted Jedi mind trick, greeting her on stage. The former vice president asked her to, and I'm quoting now, go easy on me, kid. She did not, nor he on her, nor not in the least, and not just with her, in part because he is the front runner national polls.
Let me just tweet this out. If Bernie Sanders,
after the last debate,
yes,
Senator
please,
Harris,
please,
Senator
please.
Booker, Julian
told
Castro, and others directed much of their fire
to
at,
go to
Joe Biden. We'll talk
Bernie
about how well
30.com.
They were the one to take on Donald
it
Trump.
I've been taking my Ginkgo instead of Botox, motherfucker. Let's do this.
Political and journalistic voices around. CNN Chief National Correspondent John King joins us here. Host of CNN's Inside
depressing
Politics.
CNN sack of humans
in Malika Henderson is with us. CNN political commentator, Axe-Files host, and former senior
Bernie30.com also cannot be found.
Gloria Borger is with us.
I think
also
now
so
it's
CNN
campaign
right.
best practice to
former
just get rid of
the
oh, he's lost.
Outreach.
He's lost.
And now,
on stage.
Some vampires lied.
Did I blow it up? Did I? I forgot. Forgive, bless me, Father. I forgive me. I did. Okay. I got it off by
Governor Jennifer Granholm of Michigan.
1,010 years.
Virginia. Just for some quick tapes, John King.
30 is
the big question was Joe Biden tonight, unlike
well,
the first debate.
No, 1,010, because he meant
and
to go Joe 2020.
Kamala Harris on health care with Cory Booker on
once
crime.
Once again, Bernie's
with,
looking like
Secretary
the winner
Castro
tonight.
On immigration. Got into the fight. His team will be happy that he showed up, that he responded, that he fired back. I think his performance, if you go over the whole 2 hours, was pretty uneven. He fumbled some facts.
Great.
I think he picked
that's
a couple
all I
of
want
fights.
To hear. And that's, I mean, look, folks, this is, Well, we started the night by saying this was going to be so much about so much more about performative issues than anything else. And that's the nature of Joe Biden's appeal, is that he's perceived to be a rock solid, sure bet to beat Donald Trump. But when the guy gets up there and does stuff like go to can't remember his website, screws up basic, talking points like 4 years or 8 years.
I'm sure Simone Sanders will clean it up. She's really good.
And, I mean, otherwise that, I thought, like, it could go either way. And so, you know, we'll see if John King's perspective there carries the day, this notion. Because if the narrative starts and continues that he is not capable of being the candidate that he supposedly is, then you'll start to see this trickle down through sort of the general, you know, public.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people watched this tonight. Last night was about 9 million is my understanding. That's not very many.
Nope.
At all. Tonight, I imagine, is even less. I would bet, certainly by halfway through. But the bottom line is, if the press is out there building this narrative that Joe Biden is not necessarily the candidate that people think he is, this is, you know, we're going to be helpful for those of us who don't think that he's a good candidate, yeah, and don't like his politics.
Go to my website, ttpbiden3030.biz.
Go to my website, hunterfacts.com.
Huntinghunter.com.
Huntinghunter.com. A lot of information that maybe if Bo was still with us, he wouldn't like.
And if Russia could find out what's in Hunter's emails, I'd appreciate it.
The other things I would say... The other things I would say is that Cory Booker did quite well. You missed
that. Yeah, I missed the main, but overall, I missed his breakout moment. He had a strong night. He's just so filled with cliches, but I mean, he did fine. He had a good night.
But I think, let me just do this. And there's I should have sent you this thing, but I'm looking at who supports who. And you have Biden, Sanders, and Warren, and Harris. Men, in terms of the demographic breakdown of the candidates' support, men support Joe Biden only 44% of men, or I should say 44% of his support actually comes from men. 56% comes from women, right, which is sort of shocking. I'm very surprised by that.
Not really.
Yeah, talk to more.
I mean,
folks.
Think about how many women supported Trump.
Well, and also, again,
how many women supported Trump? Much less than supported
much
Hillary.
Less than, but I think in Biden's case, a lot of women outside of like certain very sort of narrow sets still actually associate him not only with Obama, but in fact, all the stuff he tried to redirect himself on. Violence Against Women Day.
I understand
Lily
that.
Ledbetter, that type
but
of stuff.
He's so. Got more, a higher percentage of his support comes from women than Kamala Harris.
That doesn't surprise me.
Bernie Sanders gets 50% of his support comes from men, 50% come from women. Yep. Warren, 40% of her support comes from men, 60% women. Kamala Harris, 54%. So there's nobody's really at that point. I mean, I would imagine Warren looks at that 56% that Biden has and says, I can take some of those. I already clearly appeal to women. 60% of my supporters are women. And I can maybe go after that. The big disparities are at least between Sanders and Biden is that under the age of 45, 28% of Biden supporters are under the age of 45. 72% of his supporters are people over the age of 45. No one has anything even remotely close. Although Kamala Harris, 67% of her support comes from people over the age of 45. Now, Bernie Sanders, only 36% of his support comes from people over the age of 45.
And I think that number reflects ideological difference, which is there. And I think it also reflects a temperamental, like, I don't know how to articulate this because I'm so tired, but I think part of it is ideological. But I also think that people like Cory Booker and Beto O'Rourke and Pete Buttigieg are at the very least signifying that it's like, we're going to try to do something new here, right? I think Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have the most aura of like, we're just going to repeat what you've already seen. And if you feel comfortable with that, we'll do that again.
Maybe. I also think that when you think about what Bernie Sanders is offering materially.
Well, that's why I said ideological.
Much more young people Bernie's, have
well, there's
less
a
money.
Reason that Bernie Sanders does best with working class people and younger people,
yeah,
all of that.
The greatest
I was trying to go
people.
Into your terrain of the cultural stuff. I think obviously the main reason is the material, of course.
Warren, 59% of her support is over the age of 45. And then in terms of race, everyone has obviously a majority of support from a majority of their support comes from white people, 71% for Biden, 69% for Sanders, 84% from Warren, 69% for Harris. Support from black people, Biden gets 24% of his support comes from black people. 22% of Bernie Sanders' support comes from black people. Only 10% of Warren's support comes from black people. Mm-hmm. And 24% for Harris. So Warren has a deficit there that she needs to make up.
She's gonna, and there's, yeah, that'll be tricky for a variety of reasons. But do you think that there's, I mean, I'm sorry, but is there a winner or loser tonight? Did you pick somebody that you think had a particularly good night?
I mean,
Inslee crushed.
Only person who did, who is, yeah. I think there are two people who probably are going to gain from tonight.
Okay, who?
Cory Booker and Yang. I don't think they're going to gain significantly, but they may gain some.
Right.
And I think Biden is going to basically stay the same, I think, in terms of the polling. But I think that there is going to be, there is still a question mark, I think, in the conventional wisdom about Joe Biden. And I think that question mark gets a little bit more pronounced each time. Like, it could go either direction. And so there is, I think, what we're going to see. And sometimes these things are lagging, you know, the functional equivalent of lagging indicators. I think there is a growing narrative based upon his performance tonight that he may not be up to this. Now, part of this is obviously my own projection, but at the end, honestly,
no, that was
that's the worst time to screw that up.
I mean,
if he had done that 3 hours ago, we would barely remember it.
I think that there's a real question.
But when you can't deliver your website at the end of the debate, I'm sorry, you've got a real problem.
Yeah.
And
canceled.
And
go to Joe30330 and help me.
Oh, he screwed up worse than I thought.
So I think the...
What's going on there?
I don't think it's meant to be a year. I don't think it's meant to be 2020. I think it's some dumb... Let's hear it again. It's like a text number. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a text number.
Oh, he must have said...
30330.
That's a text.
And help me.
30...
Go to Joe30330.
How do you go to there?
Yeah, it still doesn't make sense.
He meant to say text.
Go to
he meant to say text Joe.
Right. Right.
But he doesn't. I don't know if he, you know, I don't know. Maybe he does or he doesn't. But he meant to say text Joe to 30330. And
but he just said go to Joe
30.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, that
just go there.
If that's it, yeah, but that's a mistake that. If that's what he did, that's a little bit more of a generational mistake.
But that just feeds into the liability of his narrative.
And it also, like, I mean, that just confuses everybody who might be.
He had a bad. He had a bad night, and if this doesn't hurt his polls a little bit, I would be concerned.
No, I don't think this is going to. I don't think this is. I don't think
a little bit.
I don't think he had a bad night. I think he had. I think the seed is planted. I think this narrative is there, and if he stumbles into this again, he is in big, big trouble.
He will.
And
physical
again, I will remind you that 72% of his support comes from people over the age of 45. This is the cohort who are least likely to text. And so that's also a strategic mistake on in many respects to tell Fair people enough. To go to text there. So
go to Joe 30330 and help me.
Well, they weren't going to do it anyway, so it's fine.
I hope we hear another, I hope we get another song somehow out of that. The 3-0-3-3-0-3.
Here's another 3.
Pick it up three, any kind of three, rhythm.
Let's just give them another clean drop here.
Okay, well, bless me, Father, if I have sinned.
There you go. There's enough to work with.
There you go. So, you know, we need to see what the spin is going to be.
Jay Inslee will get some nice articles.
I hope
some
so.
Nice coverage out of this. He deserves it. And I have two wishes for de Blasio. So one, I actually overall want to give de Blasio props for holding the flame on some things.
Yep.
And I also hope that it lights a fire under him on Pantaleo and the lead issue, because those are serious issues he seriously failed on in New York. So double marks for de Blasio. But Inslee, to me, seems like on the level of issue set, human decency, and frankly, if you care about this sort of thing, a substantive record to brag about, he should be doing better.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's just not like charismatic and smooth, and he's like a governor. But one other point about Biden, because this is ultimately about Biden, right? And I don't think Harris helped herself
tonight. That's the thing. It could have also been about Harris, but Harris really hurt herself.
I don't think she helped herself.
She did not do well.
I think Booker passed her.
But
yeah, if that's a lane. Booker,
no,
Booker,
I don't think
it's not going to change. Really? I don't think Booker will go past her tonight, but I mean, he certainly had a better night than she did.
He looks stronger to me.
He did do a better job tonight. I just don't know that you're going to see that in the polls.
It's a good night for her. For I think I would say I pair her with Buttigieg and Warren. They both will benefit from how poorly she did, I think.
Going forward, the things to watch are this narrative about Joe Biden. Does he have the physical stamina? Does he have the mental acuity? There was a couple of times he stumbled. And, you know, those two stumbles that he had where he couldn't find the word and he was sort of stumbling, set on their own, I think would have been ignored. But because of that last statement, it's conceivable to me that you're going to see that played on a loop tomorrow. And that's going to be, you're going to have on the panels, somebody's going to say, like, what is this? What do you think about Joe? And some people are going to say yes. Some people are going to say no. But when the questions start to be asked, that's when the narrative starts to get built. The other thing to watch, and this is going to be a function of who he ends up in the debate, but I had mentioned this at the top of the show tonight, that John Delaney had basically given a slight clue where Joe Biden might be vulnerable. And the TPP, I think, is going to be highly problematic for him, not because he can address, he can say, we're going to do a TPP that's better.
Right.
And address all the trade issues that you might have from Democrats. But if someone makes the point, if the question gets framed like this to Joe Biden, what are you going to say when Donald Trump says you support the TPP and I don't? To the voters in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, Ohio, what are you going to say, Joe Biden? And that, I think, is another point. I don't think it's quite been brought home, but the hook is in the mouth, as we say, for those of us who do a little fishing. You haven't reeled them in yet, but the hook is in the mouth.
I fish.
I hope so.
We'll see.
He's just, I mean, but as with everything else, I mean, he's using the spin that they've used for decades. It's just watching what he said about TPP, it was like, not only did he have the hook, but it's like, that's what they've said for decades. That this isn't like other trade agreements. It's going to have the environment at the center of it. That's what Obama said about TPP every chance he got.
Yep. Yep. And that's what makes it even more problematic for him.
Right.
He's going to have to dump the TPP again. And then people are hopefully will question his whole response to the Hyde Amendment as well. But
yeah, that was a really important thing to hammer him on, I think, to show where he differs from the mainstream of the Democratic Party.
Did he do enough to
Dorsey? That's pretty good.
Up? Or what is it?
You should go check out our Twitter feed. Dorsey has done an excellent, excellent Biden 2020 3030. Go to majority.fm. This is too good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Can I big picture it for a second? I know I get yelled at sometimes when I do that.
Yeah.
All of these people, you
Who
know.
Yells at you?
Oh, I don't know.
All right.
No, you don't understand, James.
I'm getting ready.
Work.
I mean, some people, you know, made some legitimately progressive points tonight. I was really glad Castro brought up Pantaleo. I was really glad Inslee went after the filibuster. And, you know, they showed how Biden is out of step with the rest of the Democrats on abortion. All of these people represent the left wing of neoliberalism. That's why they didn't hammer Biden on trade. They're always going to. Even de Blasio, okay, he was talking some good talk tonight. He was very persuasive, and if I didn't know better, I might think that he's at least some kind of social democrat, but I know better than that. He has been pursuing plans for gentrifying New York City since he got into office. He has a plan to open up new jails that's actually being opposed by a bunch of my DSA comrades right now who are working with No New Jails, which is a really, really good organization that I hope you check out. They're a prison abolitionist campaign.
Sam supports the new jails, so just let's all not get out of hand here.
Sure. And
Stop arguing against new jails.
Sure.
But we need new jails for efficiency.
I just want to remind people, I'm not arguing with
where will we get our free labor?
Where do we get it? Because I'm very scared. Everybody says New York's safe now, but I still get scared.
Well,
we need jails.
Say, if you close down Rikers, where are you going to put people?
If we close down Rikers and we don't have other options, then Park Slope could be dangerous. Do you see? Okay, become a member of the Majority Report. Thank you.
All right, yes,
anyway,
de Blasio's bad. Can we wrap this up?
The part about borders also really made me sad because, like, yes, open borders is a right-wing talking point. It's also a very important socialist demand and one thing that even the mainstream of the socialist movement differs from Bernie Sanders on. And I just want people to keep that in mind as we have our political journeys going forward.
They got this? Jesus.
Oh my gosh!
Oh wow!
They got to it quick,
bastards!
They got to it quick,
bastards!
Who did?
The Buttigieg people.
Buttigieg people got Joe Biden.
Joe3030.com goes to. But I'm looking right now on the Twitters. It is text Joe to 30330.
Yeah. Oh man!
His
staff is really failing him.
Like why?
His staff's really failing.
But why? Like why?
Because Simone Sanders wants Bernie Sanders to win. I'm convinced.
Yep, she's
Thank
on our
you,
team.
Simone.
Thank you,
Thank
Simone.
Simone's just like, what about a tax number instead?
Oh, they did 3030 and 3330. God, they beat us there. Damn it.
Wow. Of course, it would be the Buttigieg campaign that would do this.
Yeah.
They are opportunistic sociopaths.
Well, I mean, I tried
no,
to...
No, I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him. No, I mean that as a compliment. I like Pete Buttigieg's Machiavellian streak.
That was supposed to be the whole
I'm
Clinton
saying
selling
I
point
tried
last
to
time,
do
right?
it. They just point. Beat me by half a second.
What?
I tried to
I
buy
know.
It. You just said he's an opportunistic sociopath.
Yes, Sam. We love that about
relax.
You.
Oh, okay. It's a compliment. You need some rest,
sorry.
Big boy.
Sorry.
Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
I'm sorry.
Don't
I
worry.
I
Bill de Blasio
that was
is building the prisons. He's building the prisons. We meant it as a compliment. The open borders thing's not going to happen either, Sam. It's okay.
Joe Biden tweeted this out. I just got off the stage where I shared my boldage. But again, it's like his people don't text with all due respect. Mm. But
boring.
All right. Well,
everyone's
I guess...
trash, but Bernie and Warren can stick around too for a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody's trash, but Bernie. Well, actually, no, I'll broaden. Everybody's trash, but Bernie. Warren can stick around a little bit. and Inslee and Marianne and Tulsi and de Blasio are helpful in certain instances. That's my most magnanimous idea.
Did you see the video of...
let's stop fucking wasting
time. Of Chris Matthews. If you need to go.
Oh, no. I wasn't talking about you.
Have you seen the video of Chris Matthews with Elizabeth Warren just hammering her over the tax issue on the Medicare for All?
Jesus.
And she did a very good job of basically just saying, like, I'm not going to go there. It's about cost. Who cares about taxes?
What about the taxes? I thought John Delaney said this.
I enjoyed quite a bit. Like, he's so desperate to have it framed.
You don't have any more money.
He's personally.
Well, your payroll go up. You guys dodged that tonight,
okay? No, it's not a dodge.
Because Shane Tapper kept saying, how much are your taxes going to go up? And you'd say,
how much are your costs going to go down?
No, different question. How much are your taxes
going
up?
No, it's how much are your costs? It's how much families end up spending.
I know that argument. I know how you've covered it.
You know, the Republicans did a study, and they hoped to show that Medicare for All is going to bust the budget. And you remember what it ended up showing? That Medicare for All is cheaper than our current system. That's the Republicans.
I know the argument that you put it all together, you reduce the cost for health care premiums, and you get more benefits, and therefore you come out ahead. But will you pay more in taxes? Why don't you want to answer that question? Because Jake said tonight, that's a Republican talking point. It's not a Republican talking point. It's a question.
It's a question about where people are going to come out economically. Look,
My question is how much will taxes go up?
I spent most of my life
this is pathological.
And a huge chunk of them went broke because of high medical bills, and many of them had health insurance. So the question is not, do you have health insurance or not have health insurance? The question is, how much are you going to have to dig in your pocket to pay?
I know that's the answer that you'd like to give, but when your taxes go up, the question is your total cost. Okay, but there's no answer to the question where your taxes go up.
There is an answer to the question about your costs.
How about taxes?
Because it's costs that matter to people.
I'm not kidding. Well, let me ask you about this. You said...
You got everywhere. She faced you, asshole. That's where you got. She beat you.
I'm starting
and you repeated
think,
yourself right. like you have brain
right.
damage.
Right.
Maybe she can face off against Trump. I don't know.
I'm co-writing a book with John Delaney about Bobby Kennedy, and he's got a clear answer on this. Why don't you listen to me and John Delaney?
I can understand his frustration, but it is a right wing frame.
It's a pure right
because
frame.
You know that is going to be you're only going to deliver one side of the equation. Taxes go up. You're not going to address the fact. He just poo poos it away. No, I understand the full costs go down. But within that, the taxes go up.
But what's
it's just
so wild,
absurd.
It's so absurd, and it's actually really not that abstract. Like, honestly, I can't think of another example, but you could definitely find examples where you could say, you know what, if people's taxes went up a bump and it came back to them in an extremely indirect way, yes, that could be politically vulnerable. But this is as simple as... your taxes go up on one page, and then you open up another piece of mail, and you go, oh, I don't have to pay a ridiculous insurance premium anymore.
Or any insurance premium.
It's not like saying, like, oh, if, you know, it's, and I'm not trying to, you know, pit it against anything else that's worthy, but it's not like, oh, well, if you invest in this road, you know, what will end up happening is your car will last long. Like, it's not some abstracted argument that may even be right on the arguments. It's as simple as you might pay, say, another couple hundred, and instead of $1,000 a month on insurance. Like, it's really not that hard for people to grok.
No, but he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to make that the story.
Right.
Like, you could talk about taxes if it's subsidiary to that point that you just made of what the net is. Like, if let's get really granular. How does that break down in terms of taxes and costs? Well, you save $10 and you pay $2 extra in taxes. So the net is you get $3 more in your pocket.
Right.
That's what it is. You pay $5 in taxes. Now you're going to pay $7 later, but you're going to save $10 on your health care.
I know that, but you're paying more.
Exactly.
And why won't you write a blurb for John Delaney and I's book on Bobby Kennedy?
And
you
I
know,
have
Bobby
to
Kennedy
believe.
Meant a lot to a lot of people. I went to Holy Cross.
and there was a newspaper article about Bobby Kennedy, the student newspaper. I could quote it to you.
You know what? Everyone understands the savings here, too, including Chris Matthews.
You know who didn't support Medicare for All? Bobby Kennedy. Because he knew the Chicanos didn't want to get taxed. That's what John Delaney and I are writing about.
There's nothing more
really
relentless.
Write books
there's nothing more relentless than a guy who was an aide on the Ways and Means Committee. Then, in terms of like what is so important, just the word tax.
Oh my God.
Exhausting. All right, folks.
You know what Tip O'Neill said?
What?
He said that John Delaney and I should collaborate in the '80s.
John Delaney and Chris Matthews definitely should do this. This could be like obnoxious and obnoxiouser.
Folks, if you are still watching the stream, we'll be on Twitch every now and then.
Chapel got taken down too.
They did.
Wait, yep. We stayed up.
Well, I think it's because we're not monetized.
Standing.
That might be it.
Must be it.
We're not monetized.
We're not partnered.
We did this as a public service for folks on Twitch.
We don't chase the dollar like we the old other channels exactly. On Twitch.
So we will say adieu, ladies and gentlemen. But check out our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Sam Cedar. You can become a member of the show at jointhemajorityreport.com. All this and more every day. We stream live at 12 o'clock noon Eastern, both audio and video. And then, of course, we're available later as a podcast and clips on YouTube. And as time goes on, we're going to try and fill out our Twitch channel as soon as we, figure
I'm
out.
Playing Tetris.
I would love to do that.
That would be great. Why shouldn't it? You can. You're a free man, Nan Sam.
You have no idea how little time I have.
Sam, Sam should
do solitaire on Twitch.
Play solitaire and Tetris and do running commentaries on the Social Security actuarial reports. It would be the most like
people would watch that.
Yes.
If someone could design a Tapper style game where Sam just slides big actuarial tables of Social Security
yes!
scores
yes!
to bureaucrats, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but I like first person shooters, and so that's the problem. Like
baseball.
Do a lot of people play Red Dead on there?
You know, I don't know if Red Dead's one of the most popular still. Might be. But I mean, you could get on there. I'm sure you'd be popular no matter what.
A first person shooter game where all of your enemies are libertarians and you're shooting them with your ideas.
Oh, that would be. Yeah, I don't like to think of it as that mean. But
Oh,
that's a little bit aggressive. I don't want to shoot real people.
I'm sorry.
You have to tell them to Google it and then they run away.
Google I don't want to deter any libertarians from calling it and giving you.
Googled.
We can print our own money.
It's rendered just like a gun, but you pull the trigger, it's just like a click sound from a mouse.
That's not how money works. Look up MMT.
All right, folks. Good night. Thank you for joining us.
Take all the strength I got to get to where I want. But I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive, between the 101 and the 5. Do you know takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the man